Blog Talk Radio.
This is JoJo Bubba right coming in the house right here. I just want to take this time out to tell you fellas about the radio show that I listen to. It's Culture Freedom Radio Network. When I like to get some knowledge from some colors, I mean some Negroes, I mean some Afro-Americans, I tune in right here to Culture Freedom Radio. Yes, I'm an old country white guy, but I loves me some Culture Freedom. Man, if they don't keep it raw and uncut and off the chain, I tells you, oh boy. Hey, y'all better keep it locked right here with JoJo Bubba, man, because this is my show. This is the station I listen to for raw and uncut Conscious Talk Radio. Culture Freedom, man, in the house. Yeah, because I got friends in low places.
Right. We up in his house right here. Culture Freedom Radio.
You're now tuned in to Culture Freedom Radio Network, brought to you by blogtalkradio.com. Culture Freedom Radio is most definitely in this house. And if you would like to find out how you can listen to Culture Freedom Radio on the very distributing...
All right. We up in this house right here. On Culture Freedom Radio Network. Most definitely, we up in this house. How y'all doing out there, sisters and brothers? How are y'all doing out there? Hope that I have found y'all in a wonderful mood. I hope everything is pleasant with you and your life. I hope everything is going smooth, man, in your life right there, man. I hope there's no troubles, you know, going on. Trying to make sure y'all, I can't really hear myself, but it's all right. I guess I don't need to hear myself. But I got to monitor myself, make sure everything is going. Sometimes this thing will be cracking up and stuff. But, yeah, we're in this house right here on this Friday night, man, another Friday night show with the Culture Freedom Radio Network, broadcasting right here, live right here on Blog Talk Radio. And also we'll be airing as well right there on later on. I upload it later to talk to you as well. So just in this house right here, just up in this house, and just want to come in the house and just momentarily and just to have a this subject matter, man, talk about a subject matter called a lost black generation. A lost black generation. Man. What a topic. And I think it's something that needs to be addressed and something needs to be talked about, a generation that has lost, because we're seeing a lot of things, sisters and brothers, that's happening in our society. And, you know, the mindset of our people seem to be at a state like out of control like never before. Our actions of our people seem to be out of control like never before. Just the behavior pattern seemed to be something like never before. The disrespect for one another is, man, really running rapid. It's just a lot of things, and we're looking at our generation. Y'all know, you know, this song says, I know Whitney Houston song, and I probably won't say it just right, but she says, our children are the future. Something about let them lead the way. Well, I tell y'all, can we let this generation that we see lead the way? I'm just trying to open it up, trying to warm it up here. Y'all got to get mine right here. This is not here to beat up on our young brothers and sisters. No, not in the least little bit. But it's just some things that's real disparaging when you see what is happening out here with our people these days, man, especially like we say, our young generation. But it just ain't all on the younger brothers and sisters. It's some of these old rusty knuckleheads out here that's supposed to be elders. Hell, just as wild as some of the youth that's out here, man, and some of our brothers and sisters, you know, a younger generation, man. And I talked to some brothers and sisters said that this generation is the worst generation that they have ever seen. Y'all heard that before? This generation is the worst generation ever. It is no, you know, I bring them down, but it's just the things that's happening with the crime that we implement and perpetrate on one another, why those things are being said. It's just so many things that's in this to fixate it, why a lot of the elders, and I talked to a lot of brothers, and they said the same thing, man. This like to seem to be the worst generation ever. And we know that so many dynamics and so many things that have caused this problem, and it ain't just one. We know it's so many. So we can't just, you know, really just say, well, this is the reason because y'all old heads before them, y'all let us down and y'all didn't do what y'all supposed to be. And somewhat that can be true, but that's not all it. No, we're going to get into that. We're going to get into that, man, right here on Culture Fit Radio Network tonight. That's what we're going to be talking about, man, a lost generation, man. A lost generation. I just read some of the things in the chat room right fast. I mean, not chat room, but in the description right fast. Y'all know I got to come in here with a song. I got to have a little motivational music right here tonight. But let me see here. I put in here in the description, man, this come from an article, news website article, and I'm going to read some of this too as well from the article tonight. But it's talking about here, there is no longer a need for a dire prediction. A handwriting and an appreciation about being a generation of black boys. I think I read that right, y'all. Is it too late? Is it too late? For is this in education, economics, I mean, employment, economics, incarceration, health, housing, and parenting, we have lost a generation of young black men. The question that remains is, will we lose the next two or three generations? Or probably every generation of black boys hereafter to the streets, to negative media, the Justice Department. I know he's going to get into that tonight, too. But let me go back, y'all. Are we going to lose them in the hereafter to the streets, negative media, gangs, drugs, poor education, unemployment, father abstinence, crime, violence, and death? Huh? Will these things here be the calls to keep rendering us to keep losing our young black males, and we can throw females in there, but our younger generation. And I say a generation lost because it seemed to be, you know, they are lost. Like we say, lost souls, man, just wandering around here, have no idea what they supposed to be doing or where in the hell they going. They're just living life. They're just living life. They don't have no idea of what the heck they are doing. We're going to get into this tonight, man, right here on Culture Freedom Radio. And I got a lot. We're going to lay down on the ground. I might have a brother going to come in as a brother of mine, as a minister, might come in here and throw some things in tonight. I asked a brother if he could, you know, if he's not going to be busy, come in here and say some things. Because we want to talk about a lot of things. You know, back in the days, man, hey, is our people lost or are they gone? Because, hey, we giving up on the concept. Y'all know my thing. Giving up on the concept of God. Hey, we're going to talk about that tonight. And, I got to say Shabbat Shalom to all my brothers and sisters. They ain't quite Shabbat yet, but Shabbat Shalom to all my Hebrew brothers out there in the Israelite family who will be getting ready to start Shabbat. So peace and shalom to you out there. But I got to play this song right here, man. I got to play this song. I like this one right here, man. I listened to it on SoundCloud earlier. Man, I like the message in it. It's another call. You can find it right there on SoundCloud. The brother's name is D, like the letter D, / Sota. That's S-O-T-A, Sota. I guess that's how you pronounce it. And I like this one. It's called Spirit Flow, No Justice, No Peace. Right here, as you, this show will be hosted by, speaking about justice, Brother Justice and Brother Son of Ray 9, also known to you as Brother Ariyah. We are your gracious hosts tonight right here on Culture Freedom Radio, and we will be talking about a lost black generation, y'all. What we going to do? What can we do? So tonight we're just going to be talking about problems, solutions, and reactions. How are we going to act? Heard that before. Problems. What is the problem, reaction, solution? So we're going to talk about it tonight, how we can get to
the point of talking solutions. And I really say, y'all, as our solutions already been out there, shit, we just got to start implementing. Let's get into this right here tonight, right here on Cultural Freedom Radio Network, most definitely up in this house.
He shot again, and once my friend felt that shot, he turned around and he put his hands in the earth, and he started to get down, but the officer still approached with his weapon drawn, and he fired several more shots.
No justice, no peace.
Instantly, hundreds gathered, angered and saddened by what they call a complete overreaction by the officer. Now a family is demanding answers.
If there's no justice, there won't be peace. We'll let the struggle go on. Let the struggle go. Watch us let the struggle go. If there's no justice, there won't be peace. We'll let the struggle go on. Let the struggle go. Watch us make the struggle go.
Every day is a struggle, call it Jacob trouble. It's another real black man killed, there's no justice happen. Lil' homie, keep them laws, cause this world is tragic. I got the KKK in my neighborhood with that gun passion. This ain't brand new, these cops, man, they been in action. Grab their gun, he resists, so they started clapping. Even though the young man never had a weapon. Now his mother and his father at their home stressing. Like, why the judge let him free, they barely ask him questions. Cause in the scripture, yo, it says we under oppression. For being wicked and breaking the laws and commandments. And we three-fifths of a human being, 13 commandments. Every day we all walk in the shoes of Trayvon. Every day we all walk in the shoes of Mike Brown. Cause when they see a black man, that's racial profile. But as soon as you arrive, yo, it's going down.
No justice, there won't be peace. We'll let the struggle go on. Let the struggle go. Watch us let the struggle go. If there's no justice, there won't be peace. We'll let the struggle go on. Let the struggle go. Watch us make the struggle go.
How long are you gonna keep marching and holding signs looking for justice in this hell? That's fine. We living every day under a curse. So put the guns down and pick up the book and put the Most High first. Come back to them laws and commandments so we can go home. Away from here, away from this hell hole. Cause the chains loose off of me spiritually. Call it slavery, they killing all our babies. Then them judges are screaming, not guilty. Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 5. All praises to Yahuwah that I'm still alive. And these laws keep me humble, these making me wise. And destruction's on his way to bury the pride. Slave masters will rob you like the Christian pastors. The film's rolling, America's the main actor. Coming together as a nation, that's the main fact.
There won't be peace. We'll let the struggle go on. Let the struggle go. Watch us let the struggle go. If there's no justice, there won't be peace. We'll let the struggle go on. Let the struggle go. Watch us make the struggle go.
Yes, sir. I like that one right there, man. It's the total, man. The spirit flow. The spirit flow. No justice, no peace. And it seems to be that's what we don't have right now in the United States of America. That seems to be what it is. Don't seem to be no justice. And don't seem to be no peace. Everywhere you look around, man, somewhere there's some turmoil. There's some protest. There's somebody's. Man, mothers, what they say, y'all, mothers crying and babies dying. Sure enough, man, right here in the streets of the hills of North America. Man, I like that one right there, man. That's what we talk about, music that have a message. Like the OJ said, there's a message in the music. We need a positive message in the music, something that we can listen to that resonate with what's happening to us, not and make us look at things and say, hey, we need to change what's happening. That song right there in particular that was saying, hey, we need to change some things, not the type of music that a lot of our children and our youth are listening to and saying, hey, let's go out and do this. And it's the wrong thing that they have you doing. Talk about, let's go kill this N-word. Let's pimp these B's and H's, you know, and you know, y'all know what I mean. Calling sisters thoughts and all kind of stuff. No, 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 no. We need to change that right there. We need to get rid of that. Let's stop having that resonating over our radio. Let's change those tones and vibrations in our lives. All right, let's get it on. Let's get it on right here. Soul Train, let's get it on because it's time to get down. Yes, sir, indeed. Check this out, y'all. But like I said, we talk about tonight, man, the lost black generation, man. What is going on today with our youth? Let me bring Brother Justice. Your mic is open. Brother Justice, your mic is open. So slide on up in here when you get ready to, Brother Justice. Oh, and I got to tell you something, Brother
Peace, Justice. Peace. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I gotta tell you something that happened to me. This off topic. Before I get into the topic, let me, y'all, sorry, y'all. I got a sidebar. And I got to make sure I get these commercials in here tonight, too. I got to make sure I get these commercials. I get them at the top of the hour. Hey, y'all, get y'all some black, your DVDs, your body oils and good stuff as too. I got to make sure I put this in here. Just today, man, this politics, y'all, I got a sidebar from the sidebar. Now, check this out, Justin. You know, you remember I told you I had registered to vote and I got my voter's registration card and all of this stuff, you know, because I was a convicted felon and stuff, right? You remember I told you? And I voted.
Yes,
I voted twice. I voted twice. But, hey, I got to say now, I never voted for the Democratic ticket. The two times that I voted, it's probably, what, 3 years? No, in 2018, yeah, I got my – they sent me my voter registration card. Okay, I told them I was a convicted felon. They said, well, there's certain things, as long as you hadn't been convicted of rape, robbery, and I think it said voter fraud, you can vote. Okay, they send my paper. Today I get a letter in the mail from the Shelby County Election Commission, actually. The same people who sent me my damn card, right? The same people who sent it. It says that the Shelby County, Tennessee Election Commission has received information that you were convicted of a felony offense. Tennessee law requires the Election Commission to purge your name from the voter registration database. Now, then they send me a form here behind that. It's called a certificate of reconstruct. Damn, God, I can't get it right. to restore your voters' right? I can't get it right.
Mm-hmm. Restoration.
There you go. Appreciate it. That's why it's always good to have some. I don't know why I can't talk tonight. It says for a person convicted of a felony on or after May the 18th, 1981. Now, I don't know how the hell they sending me this because I filled out some kind of form when I was voted. But I'm going to tell you here, I got to make sure I got to hear the story. I was going to Walmart one day, and there was some people out there and had some paperwork talking about, hey, man, can you vote? I mean, you ready to vote? I was like, no. And I know it was a guy. I think he was somebody said it was a guy named Earl Fisher in this city. He's supposed to be a minister. And he had an activist group, and they was trying to get so many people registered to vote and stuff. But anyway, so I filled it out. About a month and a half, I got my card. I was like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So I can vote. Mm-hmm. So what's me out here? And I'm just wondering here, and I get to share this with you. So I'm wondering, because they kept on always, right, texting me, this is so-and-so from the Democratic Convention. I told y'all, they always seem to know the black people to always campaign and send us stuff from the Democratic Party. We don't get nothing from the, you know, the Republican Party, you know, or the Independent Party. Now, they kept on texting me. So, you know, so I just told them one day, I was like, look, because I voted, like I said, the first time I just voted all independent. I didn't even vote Republican, none of that stuff. I voted all independent. The next time I go around, this last election, I did. I voted conservative, you know, Republican, which I would say conservative. And when they text me, I was like, hey, man, quit, because they kept on texting. I said, look, I'm not no damn Democrat. Don't keep texting me all this damn stuff. I'm not a Democrat. They're trying to pander me. I'm not a So anyway, so I'm just wondering, right, because it was them, you know, the Democratic brothers who was out there trying to get people to vote. I guess maybe I wonder now. I'm just saying, because for order for them to even send me that card, from the same place, Shelby County Election Commission, who sent me my registration card, because I guess they had to check and know that I was a felon. They had to check it because I gave them a Social Security card. I mean, my Social Security number and all of that on the form, other form I'm filling. I'm just wondering, since they're talking about other people, you know, they talk about the Republicans are trying, right, to disenfranchise black voters. So I'm wondering, and, you know, just my mind,
Is it that they seen I wasn't voting for them and like, uh-uh, let's get his ass off the road. Get his ass off the road because he ain't going to vote for us. Get his ass off the road. I'm just wondering. I'm just asking. It's awfully strange since 2018 and now they want to send me this letter. And I got a brother who got some attorneys in the conservative party who's going to check into this all for me. So I'm just tripped out about it, you know.
All right.
But let's get into it. We can get into it. I just want to share that with you, man. We can get into this lost generation, man, tonight. You know, talk about what's going on with the youth.
I'm going to touch on everything. Doing fine. Peace and greetings to everybody listening to this broadcast on Culture Freedom Radio. Me and Brother Stump Ray Nine got a good topic tonight. All right, Stump Ray Nine. When it comes down to it, your state probably had some reform on convicted felons where they changed the law on that where you can vote if you were a convicted felon and you served your sentence and everything and, you know, paid your fines or whatever you have to do, then they give you your right to vote back. I think that happened in your state. It happened in my state, too.
I think when Trump got in there, they did do that. That's how I got a chance to, you know, go ahead and vote.
Okay. So for the election committee to be sending you some mail saying that you're not eligible or you're not supposed to be voting, that's bogus according to them changing laws and allowing you to vote when you voted a few times already, and they didn't send you any mail saying that you did something wrong. So now they're sending you something saying that you're not eligible to vote, which is wrong. You should be still eligible to vote in your state, and you haven't committed any offenses while voting. And so there's no reason for them to restrict you from voting or suspend you or have you reinstated as a voter. That's all something you should have to be look into with one of your legislators there in your local district. Just talk to one of those people and tell them your story and ask them what's going on and didn't they change the law and shouldn't convicted felons be allowed to vote if they didn't do this, that, and the other. So I would start there because it seems to me that it's highly unlikely that a Democrat would send you some mail or even advocate that you've done something wrong and you shouldn't be voting. That's something that the Republicans tend to do, and they've been doing, and they're trying to find all kind of measures and ways to disenfranchise black voters because they're not sure if you're the type of a voter who's going to vote the straight Democrat ticket, or you're going to vote across the board where you'll vote for Democrats and Republicans, or they don't know if you're going to just straight vote the Republican ticket or an independent. They don't know what you're going to do, particularly because you're a black candidate and you are recently a recent registered voter. So they look at your voting record and to see the time that you vote, which kind of way you voted. So if you happen to cross the line and voted for a Democrat or voted for Republicans and this and that, then those Republican officials that come out to those voting districts to be watchdogs to also intimidate Democratic voters, and they want to stand there at the polls and act like they're saying that they're just watching to make sure everything's going right. You don't see Democrats going over to the Republicans voting centers and intimidating them and being watchdogs and saying that we're just making sure the Republicans are doing things right. That's a playbook out of the Republican playbook. So I would say that in your state that the Republicans are probably doing some real scrutiny on black people who vote, and especially if you have been a convicted felon and served your time and should be allowed to vote. Now, they could be trying to disenfranchise you just because you're black. Now, you might not want to hear that, but that could be the case.
But just this, I know we're going to get into something there. But what you're saying don't fit my case.
Okay.
Remember what I said. I don't vote the Democratic ticket. So why would they? See, that's what I was saying earlier. So why would the Republicans knock me off of the ballot or the roll to vote when I vote Republican?
Because you don't have a long track record of voting. You might only do it once or twice.
A number is a number. You say one man, one vote. One person, one vote.
Yeah,
I don't say one.
Yeah, but one that person, one vote.
So my vote don't count at all then, right? So I can just...
That's not it. You got to build up a track record.
I don't need a track. It doesn't matter. Republican this year, independent this year, it's supposed to be if I'm voting, right?
Well, you haven't voted that many times, though, yet, sir. You've only voted a couple of times. They look
twice.
At people who voted 40 and 50 times, 30 and 40 times, 20 and 30 times, you know, like a higher number
of
times.
You would have to be about that age to vote that many times. When you see this, and I know that people have something else, but see, that would fit because that would seem to be, like I said again, if you talk about somebody going to disenfranchise you, because no, like I said, the first time I voted independent, the second time I did vote the Republican Party. And I text them when they kept sending me all this bullshit in front of Democrats. Hey, I don't vote Democrat. Quit sending me all this bull crap. So again, now notice, like I said, the people who were signing you up to vote, who was pushing this voting drive, were brothers they were activists in this city. So they all Democrats. So it would be this Negro ain't going to play the game. He ain't one of us.
No.
Get his ass off the road.
No, bro, they ain't it. We don't do that. That's just something Democrats don't do, man.
If the glove fit, if it don't fit, you must have quit. This glove fit. It's just awfully strange. But I'm gonna get to the topic. We got some lawyers. I got a brother who's running for office, and he gonna be on here when he get ready to run.
Yeah, I bet you.
And he got somebody looking into it because we wanna. Because if that's what they're doing, they talk about voters, suppression.
Suppression.
We want to expose their ass. We're going to make sure we expose their ass.
I doubt it very seriously. Highly unlikely.
He got some lawyers going to look into it, so I already sent my information
it's
over.
It's very much more likely that the Republicans have something to do with your disenfranchisement.
We're
going to
find out. We will find out. But,
because you keep pointing the blame at the Democrats, but then you just, you know, once what happens when you do find out and they did do it and then
because it don't make no damn sense. It don't make no sense. What would you do? Why would the Republican Party do it and I voted for them? Why would they kick me off? They would want me, and I'm sending messages to Democrats. Quit sending me this shit.
They're like, look, we don't have Trump anymore, so we don't have that leverage because he was the one that brought Sumrae in to vote.
I voted for the governors and all of that stuff that was here.
Okay,
he was the only one that I pushed on the lever
He motivated you to vote more than likely because weren't voting.
How do they know? They don't know that.
Before Trump got in?
Okay, why did the first time Trump had just got in there, why the first time did I vote Republican then? Why did I go independent then? I would have voted, if he inspired me, I would have on my first time, and he had just got in there, I would have voted for the Republican Party then. If he was the cause of me voting, I would have voted Republican. I voted independent.
Whoever you voted for independent didn't win that race. So So it didn't matter.
But don't matter. You know, but Trump was not an independent, right? So why
right.
would I vote in the, why would I, if he was the one inspired me, as you say, I would have been voting for the for Republican, which was supposed
but
to have been
did,
Trump.
Because you voted. You
no. No, I didn't, brother. You see, you miss it. Listen here. Let's take it A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3. Let's take a simple
all
step.
Right, let's do it.
If he was the one had inspired me, like you said, he was
well,
a Republican,
I
right?
inspired you. I inspired you, brother. You go ahead.
But he was a Republican. If you had inspired, see there? I should have voted Democrat then. Is you
no.
inspired me.
No, I inspired you to register to vote.
But you, but you, but I know what you are. But no,
you
trying to say
what to vote for? I just
being, but by him being in the, but that's another whole subject. But it didn't have nothing. But
yeah.
I just throw that out, man. You know, we're gonna look at it. But I just want to.
Yeah,
it don't make
you,
a damn difference, regardless, though. But I just want to throw it out because if we're gonna find out who's playing this. Because black people always talking about somebody being disenfranchised. So I really want to see this. I want to see so we can put the truth out. Because if it happened to me, I want to see who's really doing the disenfranchising. That's all. That's the only reason I'm saying this shit. Because we really want to see. That's it. That's it.
Republicans, that's what they've been doing all across the country. There's
okay.
no reported case of any Democrats trying to take away anybody's chance to vote in any
that's
kind
fine.
Of way.
I said, we'll find out. We that's all I want. I just want to throw it out there. Like I said, we shall see. We shall
but look,
see.
How you?
But,
all right, so when you started voting, you came in the game as an independent, and then you was allowed to vote.
I wasn't neither one. I said, you know, you know me. You know my thing. I was a Mr. Fuck It. I was a Mr. Fuck It man. Excuse me, y'all. That's how I was. You remember me. I was like, man, fuck politician, man. Fuck vote. That's
I'm
what
talking
I
about
came
the first
in.
Time you voted, Sun Ray. What did you register as?
I didn't register as neither one. I'm not even registered as a so-called Republican or conservative. I'm not registered as neither one of them. I'm not registered on the none of them. I just went when I went to go vote, though. I'm just telling you how I voted because you know damn well I ain't fucking.
All right, you got to you need to report to the committee anyway because you got to figure out where you stand and where you want to be at because you
said
you didn't register with any party. You don't know.
No, I ain't got to. I don't have to, bro.
You do have to.
See, this,
you,
that's
you have
the problem.
To,
I don't,
you can
I'm
change
not,
parties, but you got to go in there and register.
I don't want to because listen here. I want to listen. Whoever the goddamn it. I feel this best for the whoever's best for the position that I feel this best and trying to address the need and who's out here really doing something for the community. I don't give a fuck. It could be a Democrat. It could be. I will vote for a Democrat as long as they doing something. That was a sister in this city, Janet Fully Love. It was a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't vote at the time. She was in the office. But I would have voted for her. She's
That's
a Democrat. I had no problem with that shit. I just be fucking around with that talking about Democrat and Republican, but I really still don't holler like fuck with some liberals. But still again,
I ain't
down with that. You ain't gonna put me in no clique. I'm not been in no clique. And see, I'm not like they do the rest of like our brothers and sisters for 50 some goddamn years. I just got to go in there and vote D for y'all. No, hell no. And then y'all ain't been doing it for us in 50 years. No, I'm not gonna be.
Oh.
You fuck with the Republican Party, the Martian Party, the Green Alien, the whoever party. I'm not gonna assign to no particular party because y'all motherfuckers don't have the kind of, you don't have the kind of drink I like at the party. Y'all ain't got the kind of popcorn I like at the party. No, I want to go to different parties that you know you might be playing a little Latin music at the party. I want to go over there and get me a little Latin. No, you gonna go bound me to one party? No.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of the conservatives, fuck with them. So no, but anyway, let's get into the thing. See, we already lost. We getting lost off.
That's cool because you know, I mean, we just got to talk it out, walk it out. You know, we get it.
Yeah, I just need to throw it out there though, man, because you know, it seems of peculiar. It's a peculiar. Is that?
I would talk to my local legislator though. I would call somebody tomorrow morning. If I was you, man, that's critical, man. I'd be like, what's going on? You gonna send me this? I would call that number on that back of that paper.
I ain't even sweating it, bro. Look, I just throw it out like it ain't no biggie, bro. Like I said, somebody already working on that.
Okay, good. That's all I want.
I let the politicians and everybody else do their shit who fuck with it. I just want to throw it out and just find out what's going on. Really, I don't give a damn, Scarlett. To be honest.
Well, you should.
Especially in this particular arena of Memphis that we living in, motherfuckers fucking up and shit ain't doing their job, but they supposed to be doing anyway. And that lead us to the thing. Bro, you remember the video I sent you the other day with these young brothers, man? It's a brother, he go around filming. He go all over the United States filming, going to different hoods and stuff, as Kabina Ray would say, hood uh-huh. USAs. He go around uh-huh. filming. And, he came to Memphis. He did something in Memphis, just filming. And what's his brother's name? I'm looking at this thing right here. He's on YouTube, CharlieBo313.
I see that name before a lot of times.
Yeah, I see he go around in a lot of places, and oh man, and in certain places he went to, he talked to like gang members and things, there's people who's in gangs and interview them, and some of this stuff, the man, I seen he did some stuff in Chicago about 5 days ago, and some of this stuff, man, is really, it's tragic. What I mean is tragic, and it's heart-wrenching, man. When you see the, it's like, they think this shit is okay. They trying to say, man, y'all don't know what's going on out here, man. It's hard out here, man. And this, that, and other. I see, okay, I'm looking at the one in Memphis. He did about a month ago. Okay, he was shooting in Memphis. But it's somebody got to be talking to the gang members and shit. See, man, you know, man, if an end come on this side, bro, hey, man, you got to watch out, bro. You got to bang, your head got to be on a swivel, bro. Because, you know, they might come.
Mm-hmm.
Open fire and start gunning and this and that. Hey, bro, that's just the way it is. See, this shit, it's like it's normal. Like, that's how life is supposed to be for them. Like, y'all don't understand, man. You know, that's how it is out here in these streets. You know, that's not how it is in this street. That's how, you know, y'all have made it to be. And, you know, that's how maybe somebody started it off that way. But that's not how it's actually supposed to be. So they got guns, man. We got heat. We got heat out here in these people, these N-word. You know, I'm trying not to use that term. I seen brother had big drums like in Chicago, like a little sawed-off machine gun with a big drum on it, man. Like,
man.
Dang. So it's like this is another black individual that you're going to shoot down in the street because they don't represent your street. Well, as they say, your street, but the street might be named after some goddamn European or something. And you say, this is our block. And this is how you're going to gun. Like here in the city of Memphis the other day, they said a guy, he was standing in his front yard. And four guys pulled up. And I know it was eight guys all together. I don't know how that was, but cause I didn't even catch the audio. I heard him talk about it on the radio. And he's like, man, he just jumped out and started shooting at the guy. He ran back in the house, got his gun, and they just had all goddamn wild, wild west.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. In broad daylight in the opening, and thank the Most High that nobody get hit. Now, a couple of houses got shot up, but then nobody get hit. Thank the Most High for all that. But it's just, they don't value freaking life no more. Don't freaking life. And the problem is, we talk about it like a generation lost. Our brothers and sisters, it used to be that we respected the elders, you know, even at least in their faith anyway. And a lot of things our elders tried to give you information, whether you might listen to it, but don't mean you're going to do what they tell you. But at least you would listen to it and like, you know, man, damn old school, man, I ain't going to do that.
Right,
but
right.
Now, like, man, y'all tell a person, y'all tell the elders in there, come on, old school, man. Come on, bro. Man, that shit, man. Y'all did that back in the day, man. We don't want that. We ain't down with that no more. We ain't doing it like that now. It's like, number one, because like, it's like, okay, well, somebody might say, well, the reason that our youth are like they are, maybe the generation before them wasn't trying to school them up on something. That's not, I would say, this is my opinion. I would say that's really not the case because I tell y'all what, y'all know Brother Sunray used to be out here wilding out. I told y'all he used to be wilding out, been in and out of goddamn jail and these damn institutions a lot. Now, did somebody try to warn Sunray and tell old heads you try to tell me? Yes, they did. But I still went out here and did what I wanted to do. My mother, my father, they gave me values. Shit, did I use them? Nope, not at the time. They taught me. So they gave me what you call home training. They tried to warn me about the things of life because why? Hell, they experienced it. They had already been living life. They experienced it. They was older than me, so most likely they had some experience on certain things that's out here in life, or they know somebody else that have done went down some of the path that I was about to go down. So they tried to school me. But it was me as an individual. I did not want to listen. I want to do what I want to do, or I want to do what somebody else, like my younger peers, like myself in my age bracket, were out here doing. Or I just want to do shit to please some little old girl, you know what I'm saying, show out. You have your say back in the day, trying to show out, you know, in front of some old girl. So, you know, and the shit probably got me in trouble. But it wasn't that there was no elders trying to instill stuff in you. It were. It was that it always go back to is you. That's why the brother said last time on the show. It goes back to personal responsibility. You can blame everybody else. It's all like they say, man, it's always easy to put the responsibility out on somebody else than to really look at yourself and say, wait a minute. Michael Jackson, let me look at the man in the mirror. What the hell am I doing wrong? What have I done wrong? And that's even me going in and out, finally, them institutions. It was elders. I didn't mess with the younger because the younger cats still in jail. You know, they was in jail, still trying to figure out how they was going to get out to be bigger and better criminals. That's not all of them, but most of them. Being there, talking about the bull shiggity, how they was pimps, players on the street. They got all these men and women and all this old bull crap. Man, I'm out here pimping. All this old ignorant shit and how they going to be up. This is for somebody else, how they committed a crime. And talk about, well, see, you made your mistake like this here. So he's trying to figure out how he going to get out and be and do the crime right next time without getting caught. So I just sit back and just, you know, gravitated to the old heads and listen to the elders, the older cats when I was in the jail. Mm-hmm. Them the brothers who pulled, then they pulled my coattail. You know, I was learning from them, listening to them. Young brother, you know, they was telling me, you know, the old stories, how they grew up. And they were telling me, like, listen, man. Hey, bro, when you get out of here, bro, hey, don't go back to that foolishness and so-and-so, so-and-so, man. Stay your ass out of trouble, man. Get somewhere and sit down, you know, such and such, this and that. Right? Okay, old school. Okay, old head. You know, and a couple of times I didn't do it, but it got to me. And even when I got on the road, the path of trying to learn, it was old head. It was brothers, elders, taught me, started teaching me the message of the black man and stuff like that, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It was the elders. It was the elders that were teaching. It wasn't none of them young guys. Like I told you, it was a young brother that I was in jail with. He's like 18. Hell, he told you he was in there trying to figure out how he going to be a bigger, better and criminal. He didn't want to listen. The elders was trying to teach him and tell him, hey, brother, stay your ass out of trouble. Man, you're going to keep on coming back in here. You're going to keep on doing this and that. Sure enough, he got out, did exactly what he did. He got to be a bigger, I ain't gonna say a better criminal, but he got to be a bigger criminal than what he was doing at first. And I don't ever know what happened. I know he got arrested again. I don't know what happened to him since then. But it's not that people hadn't been trying to educate us and teach us. A lot of things we just don't want to listen. And another thing is, sometimes elders can give you some information. You might take it, listen to it, and go on about your merry old way. But now it seems, and sometimes we be like, you think you know more than the goddamn person who have experienced some things and went through it. So, you know, they're trying to tell you, and I'm going to use myself. I got to use myself as an example because that's the only best thing I know is me. You know, in a relationship before and with a woman, and she kept on, you know, she wanted to be out here in them streets wilding out. So I ain't gonna lie, she got me locked up a couple of times, bullshitting, because I was trying to be, hey, you know, talking about I'm in love and all this old crazy stuff. I'm trying to do this, stay in the relationship out because with my children and all of this old stuff. I'm trying to make this thing work. Like, oh, here's, hey, bro, you can't make a woman love you, man. Hey, you better get your ass away from her. She gonna keep on having getting your ass locked up, bro. Look, if she really loved, she wouldn't do it. You know, the old head was, man, pulling my coattail, bro. I'm listening. But I'm still, I go get out, go right back to her. And, you know, she really messed me up this last time. Even the white police told me, man, you need to get your ass away from her, bro. But anyway, that's another story. But Elder was trying to tell me, man, I'm still trying to rationalize, trying to make excuses. When they telling me, they telling me, and that's what a lot of our young cats we want to do. Get the information sometime. Get the information. But everything got to be a reply. Well, see, this is the way, bro. You know, this is so-and-so, so. Listen, take the information. The elders gave it to you. You ain't got to take it for face value. Take it. Do the knowledge. Go sit down. Look at it and see how it's going to manifest. But every time somebody trying to tell y'all something dead off the top, it's always a reply. Bam, bam, bam. Well, this is what I see it this way, or I want to do it. Okay, I tell you, just go ahead. Do it the fuck the way y'all want to do. That's why sometimes it's got to say, okay, well, since everything I'm trying to tell y'all, it's just like sometimes with a woman, excuse me, my sisters, your husband or something try to tell y'all something. I want to do it this way. I don't want to do it. I'm grown. Okay, since you grown, take your ass on out there and do it then. Don't call me when something happened. Your ass, your mom and them used to tell you that. Since you grown, you want to be grown? You grown folks don't live in my house. Since you grown, you get your shit. They ain't say it like that, y'all. Pack your stuff and get the hell out. You can get the hell out of here since you grown. You don't want to listen? I'm trying to tell you something going to save your life. And that's what has happened. Like, they don't want to listen to save, and their lives are being taken because they don't want to listen.
Ain't like nobody, my people.
Yes, sir. It ain't nobody. It ain't like that nobody ain't telling people, brother. It ain't like nobody hadn't really been trying to give the people the information. It's a lot of it, man. They don't want to freaking listen. And that goes to so-called, it ain't just the youth. It's some older people out here don't want to listen to shit either. They don't want to listen to reason either. They just want to do what they want to do. And some people, you just got to take your hands off of them, brother. And see, like we had a lot of people, man. And I look at, and y'all always know I got to throw what y'all call religion or spirituality to it. You even look at, and I know a lot of today, we in this Western society today, and we like, man, F religion, damn God, damn so-and-so. But you look at it. The value, a lot of values you learn, or your mama them learn, it came from when your grandmothers, your grandmothers, great-great-grandfathers and stuff, learned values from studying the Bible, believing in God, and they reared you up from some of the things that they believed in God. Now we just got to the point like, man, we don't need to fuck God. We don't believe in that shit no more. Nigga, I'm God now. Ain't no motherfucking thing is God. You know, all it is now. But then if you such this goddamn God, why is it that now? Okay, if religion was the damn problem, religion is the problem. Why it seem to be that our communities back then seemed to been more unified, been more of a family structure, for one, more family, fathers in homes, you know, a lot of the great value systems. This religion should have tore it apart. Now that y'all don't have that shit too much in your homes, you don't want to listen to it, why are y'all's situations such in shambles if religion was the problem? That's what I'm trying to figure out. That's what I'm trying to figure out. I learned a lot. My grandmother, them man, instilled a lot of values in my mother, and my mother them passed it on to me. And from what they, you know, was reading and maybe studying and how they felt from their spiritual systems or spirituality. And a lot of shit sometimes I didn't do. Y'all remember back in the day they had the fire and brimstone preach. I ain't say y'all got to have no fire and brimstone preach to everybody going to hell. No, I ain't saying that. But there's a lot of stuff our people didn't do because they had value for certain things. Now certain value systems are gone out the window. Sisters running, like I said, half-ass naked. Well, hang on. Damn, they can't say half-ass naked. Hell, a lot of them are naked. And you listen to the music. It's a lot of stuff, man, when there was value. You wouldn't even listen to none of this damn music that they had. All on the television. They wouldn't even have everything you turn on now, sex all involved in it. Everything is over-sexualized now. You can't even buy a bag of Lay's potato chip and it got all sexual in the window to it and shit to it. Mm. Everything. But see, me, I look at a lot of things that I see and I read from the Bible, right? And I ain't telling everybody y'all got to deal with the Bible. I see a lot of stuff that this Bible talked about that was going to happen. That was going to happen. Homosexuality running rapid through the neighborhoods, through our communities. Like I said, we seen a lot of this stuff I'm talking about, sexual perversion, all of this stuff. I read it, I'm like, wow. Here it is. It'd be like right there, boom. Like it says in one part in the book, even in the book of Romans, I told y'all how it said that a woman in the book of Romans, chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 26, it says, for this cause God gave them up to vile affection. It says, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. See, that's that nature part. So y'all say, man, it's just a natural. It ain't no such thing as God. It's just nature, Jack. Well, hell, even the Bible says it's against nature. You might say it's God, but it even says it's against nature. Meaning the woman change of her nature. It's like lesbianism that's happening out here. Huh? A lot of this lesbianism. Paul even put it right there. And it says, and likewise, also men leaving the natural use of a woman burn in their lust towards one another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving themselves to reproach. See, there I go right there. We see this. We see this today. And it's like, it's just crazy, man. It's all out of whack. But I want to read some of this article right fast. But I don't know, just jump on in when you get ready, brother. Okay, go ahead, brother. A lot of people are just lost. What you think? Go ahead. I'm going all over.
Okay. A lost black generation. And what goes around comes around.
Hmm.
Those things you were reading in the Bible, these things happen over and over again throughout time. So the time that we're living in, what led us to where we are? Like you said, when we were growing up, things weren't like this. They had certain boundaries you couldn't cross, certain standards, certain restrictions. The language was different. And so that's the problem. It's the language. Okay, because if you can go past violating the principles of ethics based on what you want people to not hear that would be negative or a rude comment or something that would be calling someone a name or something. So there's different ways you have standards in place. Language. Who's that?
Go ahead, brother. My bad. I'm trying to get a clip leveled up. My bad. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, okay. The language, how we speak, is how we can get along or how we don't be able to get along. And so how we got here is through the enemy of the people of God, the children of the Creator, who would not want everybody to be in tune and in balance and have love and harmony. They would want to, the enemy or the adversary would want to cause all kinds of confusion and destruction and mayhem and control of people's minds. And they've gained pretty much full control now of those mines. And it wasn't like that. We're together as a people prior to going into integration. Our people had still had some togetherness after integration took place. But after that, you know, it seemed like all of our music had love and stuff in it throughout the 60s, and it was talking about consciousness and what's going on in the world and bringing forth an understanding of we need to fight the power and we need to do all kinds of things that bring unity and a harmony of people with a brotherhood of love. And that will be something that you wouldn't put a color on, because if everyone was behaving in a way of brotherhood, then all of the hate would go away and then we would have peace. So in order for that to not happen, you would have to cause all of these problems by taking over people's minds and controlling everything and controlling the way that people think. And so, you know, how people speak to each other in different neighborhoods, you know, it depends on what school you went to, education, or the general education of the neighborhood, of how much people went to school and didn't. And so if you get a lot of people who dropped out and whatnot, and then they want to take the street life or the street way, then they talk to each other unlike they would if they were at school. They start speaking to each other with a lot of negative words and calling each other this and that, B words and N words, every other word. And it's a reduction of respect for each other. And it's a reduction of not having learned enough to be able to speak to somebody in a way that you can get something done in a positive fashion without harming anybody. The language creates this type of a hate and creates reason for displaying what might be something that you call hate, and it might be reflected towards somebody else to do damage on somebody else, because over and over again, this has been the message that's been put out over the TVs and in the movies over and over again throughout the last 30 or 40 years. So this plan has been in place for quite a long time. And there was a movie out back in 89 with Batman and the Riddler, and they wanted everybody to have a cable box in their house so everybody would be stuck watching movies and stuff. So the villains would be out robbing the world blind because everybody's not paying attention to what's going on in the real world. So they're all stuck on TV. And the TV is controlling your thinking and controlling your attitude and controlling any kind of situation you might get in, a scenario that might play out. You saw it in a movie, and now you might want to react like the movies do. You might speak now how the movies do. These people in Hollywood have coached our young brothers and sisters in the neighborhoods into calling each other bros. We didn't call each other bros growing up. This is something that white media or white Hollywood has decided that they want black youth to call each other. This isn't something they decided on their own. So now, everywhere you go, you hear the youth calling each other bro. Why? Because in all of the movies where there's two whites talking to each other, the two white dudes are calling each other bro in the movie. In other movies, too. It'd be other whites talking to each other. They call, hey, bro, this, that. So then a black person watching that, then they get to calling each other bro. And then now it's a big thing. Everybody's a bro. it has gone so far now that the girls call each other bro. Every other sentence, girls are calling each other bro. This is a ploy played out in the media and in the movie industry by gearing people or coaching people into thinking or speaking however they want you to. Nigga this, nigga that, all these words like that over and over again because it's being allowed, because they want you to do that, because they know what that is and what it creates. So they allow you to do it because there's something about that that's not cool. So if they allow you to do it, you should know that it's not cool. It's just a whole lot to this stuff. Now, I have a few other things to talk about this, because we would always say things start at home. You should learn how to act at home. Well, that's a good notion, but what if you got parents that don't know how to act at home in front of their children, or they just aren't good parents and they can't teach children how to act right because they don't know it, they haven't been taught themselves. So a lot of parents don't have that motherly wit, like Mother's Day weren't bombarded with media teaching them that all they have to do is put their child in front of the TV or put a phone in his hand and let him play some games, and that's babysitting them. And that's what they do these days. So a lot of things start at home, but if you don't have a good starting point, you're going to come from a home where, how about there's a lot of cussing and cussing in the house and a whole lot of vulgar words being used towards you as a child. That does a lot of dysfunction in a child's mind. That creates a lot of psychological issues in the child's mind when the parents are constantly cussing at them or even physically abusing them. So physically or verbally is the same thing. It's both abuse. But they get a lot of that at home. Then that gets out in the street. And when you got people who are in the street talking to each other, there aren't any boundaries because they just say anything. And a lot of times they've been mind controlled so hard to the point where they live in a constant fear or a constant paranoia because the lifestyle that they live in is not one that is a fair thing where everybody is treating each other equally fair. It's like, it's kind of the opposite. It's like somebody can take advantage of you or set you up and, you know, rob you or do anything if you live in different types of lifestyles. And so, you know, it's like languages. Like in the Spanish language or the Latin language, that's a very protective language because it don't allow you to really violate the ethics of speaking and speaking with respect. There's hardly any words that they have that are really disrespectful and bold like we have in the English language. So they might say certain things, but it's not going to the point where English words go to.
So, you puta, that ain't bad. Familiar my
like cabron and all that. Yeah, puta. I mean, yeah, that's offensive. That's offensive in the Spanish language, for sure. But there's much more harsh words that are spoken in English that break all kinds of barriers, you know, of respect that would cause someone to be mad enough to want to take their life, I suppose. So, if you don't have a foundation, like even if you say you're home and that will be your foundation, well, you got it. If it's not working there, the next thing would be you will hope you have church. But if you probably got a good home and they probably don't go to church from you growing up, then you probably won't get church. You're probably not going to get church either, because your home, they don't even start. They smoke weed in the house and in front of the children and cuss and carry on in front of the children and do all this stuff. So you're probably not going to get that. So if you're not getting that from home or church, then you're not involved in any kind of a group activity like the Cub Scouts or even the Boys Club, where you go into somewhere where you can look at a mentor or someone older that is a positive figure, or, you know, a good example of a man, or, you know, to emulate yourself from, then you're not involved in that, or you should be. But if you're not, or the Cub Scouts or the Boy Scouts, then you got to go with the school. So now the school, you go to school, this here's the next chance you get to not become part of the lost black generation. Because now you're getting an education. You're trying to learn. You're trying to get good grades so you can advance to the next grade. And you're trying to learn how to read and write, do arithmetic, all that stuff early on in your life.
The school is failing the children, man. The schools are piss poor, man. The public schools.
Society.
The public schools are one of the problems. They're one of the problems.
You know, it is. That's part of it. That is part of the problem.
I mean, Farrakhan said that before. Yeah, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. You sounded muffled all of a sudden.
Who is it? Me or Justin?
Sunray.
Okay, let me turn my mic. Can you hear me, bro?
Yeah, I can hear you.
That's his phone. Yeah. You need to clean the earpiece off. Probably, you know, coming in too clear. Dirty earpiece. So I'm just joking, Alpha Male. Peace and love, brother.
What's that? I have a slightly different view on the whole topic. From our standpoint, yeah. We see them as lost because we have a goal in mind, which is liberation of our people. But they're doing what they want to do. They're not lost. They're where they want to be until somebody gets shot, somebody get locked up. But people do what they enjoy doing. I mean, prime example, Sunray, like he said, he enjoyed doing things earlier, but he started to grow up. He grew out of it. There was no profit nowhere in it for him, so he decided to take another path. You know, some people really love that. You got people that really love living in squalor. They don't want to clean up. They don't want to pick up the trash on their streets, and that's cool because they're who they are. It's only negative to us. To them, they're living their best life. It just don't look that way to us. You know, so I absolutely don't think they're lost. And I don't think it might. When it comes down to abuse, yeah, you can definitely send a child in the wrong direction. But in general, a child goes the path that they come here with for the most part. Because all these perfect scenarios that you were talking about, the fathers in the home and not cussing and not drinking, man, let me tell you, that's all we saw growing up. But one family member found that that's the life I want to live, and 10 of them didn't. They actually made a conscious decision right there. You know, so I just think people do what they love. And until it crosses a line and they become a victim, then all of a sudden, you know, oh, man, you know, I was messing up. Well, you knew you were messing up, and it was cool to you as long as you're getting away with it. But once the rabbit got the gun, then it's a whole new game. And that's all I got to say.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, I think a lot of people, the reason I think that, I'm just going to say, we kind of use the terminology lost is,
because I would say it's like this. Because, you know, a lot of the people like myself or whatever, we think we doing what is right, because we see a lot of things in society, how like they're displaying, hey man, that's the thing to do. Hey man, like, you know, we was young smoking cigarettes or whatever, you know what I'm saying? This is the thing to do because society says it's okay. So you think it's okay, but then you find out that damn, bro, you know, we're just using this term lost. This is like, man, I was lost out there, bro. Shit, I thought that was cool. I thought that was the right thing to do. And we just kind of use, I was lost in the world, bro. And so I think that's why people use that term lost. It's like, because you was thinking this was right, and you thought, hey, because my friend was doing it, my partner, my homies, everybody else was doing it. So I think, hey, this is what's right. Like the music that people be listening to and like saying everything else. Like, hell, people now just thinking this homosexual shit. They get, hey, because society said it is right. And then they get to getting into it like, oh, wait a minute, hold up. This shit ain't right. So he's like, that's why we're saying they're lost, because they're lost into the world. And until they come to find themselves, bro, I was lost out there, bro. I was fucked up in the world. Man, you know, until now I found myself. So, like, you know, we use these terms in certain things. Like I said, like, Homeland in the Nation, they said the lost found nation of Islam. We was lost. We didn't know. Like people said, we didn't know who we was, a people. We don't know our identity. But sometimes we just use that. And some people are doing, some people truly know better, and they do know what the hell they doing. And there's some just, they don't. And then hopefully some come to the realization, like, this shit ain't right, bro. You know, we understand what society says, but like, again, I had to quote the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, what he said a long time ago. He says, even though, you know, your parents can do what all they can do to you, he said, but society has more of an influence on your child than you do. So that is a lot of things. Society truly has influenced our children by what they're putting on television, like I said, the music. And all of these type of things. But still at the same time, I would say, this is my opinion, y'all. This is all just my opinion. Even though we know that they are doing this, but isn't it our responsibility or us as a community who know better? Like, we could sit here and talk about this on here. So there's other people who know a lot of this stuff is wrong. So isn't it our job who know better to fight against this stuff and stop this stuff from happening? Like, we, if we know it's the music, we know it's on the television. So it's like, and I hate to use white folks' analogy to you know, put us, you know, as an example of what, against white people, but shit, I got to do it. When something is happening in the so-called white community, they don't want something built in their goddamn community. You know what they get to do? They do? They rally together, put petitions and shit together. Like, nope, you're not building it. And I tell y'all, there was a place here in the city called Collierville. They was trying to open a strip club. They got together out there like, hell no. They filed a petition. Like, you're not opening that shit out here. They didn't open it out there. So if that's what I'm saying. So if we don't want this music to be played and going on the airwaves to our church, to be sold to our church, and we don't want this, shouldn't it be an outcry of us getting together and saying something about it and doing something? And I'm going to read something right there. LJ, your music, I mean, your mic is open. I just want to read one thing from the article. It says, who are young black women going to marry? Because we was talking about they was going to the prison, black men going to prison. Who are going to build and maintain the economics of the black community? Who are going to anchor strong families in the black community? Who are young black boys, who will young black boys emulate as they grow into men? It says, where is the outrage of the black community at the destruction of his black boys? Where are the plans and the supportive actions to change this? Is this the beginning of the end of black America, of black people in America? I'm sorry. And then one more thing, by fast, LJ. It says the list of those who have failed young black men include our government, our foundations, our schools, our media, our black churches, our black leaders, and even our parents. There we go. And I just stopped right there at that one. It's true. A lot of us, it's our community. Like I said, if somebody else don't want that shit happening in their community, they're going to make sure it don't happen in their community. They're going to fight against it. They're going to fight against it and won't let that happen. But like I said, a lot of times we just turn a blind eye and say, well,
Well, so what? And what can we do?
There's a lot you can do. There's a lot you can do. These are your children. These are your babies. When we say it take a village to raise a child, I guess the goddamn village been burned down, been torn down then. Or that theory don't work no more. Like I said, a lot of stuff we used to do, why is it not there anymore? Oh, I forgot. That's old school, man. They don't do that shit no more, bro. Y'all did that shit back in the day. Come on, bro. We don't get out like that no more. That's how I feel. Sad. But there's your mic open, too.
Peace, y'all. Peace.
Now, peace.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to say I agree with actually everything each and every one of y'all said, because I've actually seen and experienced this from all perspectives that you guys shared. I just want y'all to know that I can only speak from my perspective. You know what I mean? When I'm sharing with y'all, I can only speak from me. I would say I possibly came up in an era where we got the last of the morals and the some of the discipline, or seen some of the things that you guys may have seen. Because when I used to hang outside, we still had a village. Like, it was people in a community who were teachers and principals and secretaries at the school. They owned stores and certain businesses in the neighborhood. So when a Miss Jefferson or a Miss Sanders or whoever is coming down the street, whoever is out there, y'all stop doing whatever it is you're doing, and you let Miss Jefferson go home. Y'all help her with her bags. If any of y'all playing y'all music too loud, she better not have to open her window and tell y'all nothing. So on and so forth. You know what I mean? We have certain people in our community, like Justice referred to, with certain programs and gyms and things like that that you can go to as a youth to stay out of a lot of trouble. You have people who used to do certain things who came back to the community and was trying to help. You also have those people try to warn us based off their experience that today the same person you're friends with and you're playing basketball with, you're playing football with, you're probably going to be having a problem with them when you get a little bit older. It may be because of something personal. It may be something you just so happen to be born into. You just may so happen to be living over here, and this nonsense been going on for about 10, 15 years. What I will say is just like Justin said, it's about the foundation. A lot of these people don't have, with all due respect, that some of these people have people that are qualified to be parents. So they are coming up with no foundation at all. They may know, yeah, okay, it's a God out here, you know, whoop-de-doo, but they've seen so much traumatic things, whether it be on TV, whether it be what they're listening to, whether it be right outside they front door, that's all of that is irrelevant to them. It doesn't make it right. I personally think, again, from being around and seeing it, like, damn near everybody I grew up with, was none of them, maybe 10% of us made it past 25. Like, literally, they're dead or in jail. Literally, like, I'm not even exaggerating with the number. And a lot of them still had a good, some good parents. But when we talk about the village, again, people used to know the people who live across the street from them, used to live next door to them. A lot of these people don't have that no more. They probably just coming over to a neighborhood, claiming a neighborhood because their grandma still live there. You know, or their dad is from there, or their brother, you know, used to hang out there and he in jail or died. So he want to live up, he want to be like his brother. He want to be like his dad. So that whenever I say that it's the generation before, I just say, again, they have their problems, you know. And because of their problems, there's, you know, just a hole. There's just a hole that was left in our community, in our homes and so on and so forth, which took
some of the negative things that they were doing just elevated to a whole extreme level. Because there wasn't that many men around to, I would say, keep it neutral, to make it be, no matter if we have weapons out here or if y'all have a problem, y'all still going to use your hands to fight. Man, what you doing? You don't need to be out here messing with all these women. Man, you got a baby over there. Go take care of your children. It wasn't that many men around to keep that energy and that thought process in the neighborhood, in around the world. Well, excuse me, North America. Well, that's all I got to say.
Well, I'm just looking at something. I'm just thinking about something, listening here to everything. I wonder how is it that it just seemed to be, I don't know, I don't live in everybody's community, but I'm just looking at what I see. How is it every other community or ethnic group of people don't seem to be having the problems like we're having? Now, I know there's some white families, there's not certain fathers in the home in some white communities, and maybe in the Hispanic community. A lot of communities, there's father absences. Maybe not the magnitude in the black community. How are some of these other communities able to keep their thing functioning besides, and we're getting out of control like ours? Is it just something with us? I mean,
it is something with us. And what it is, it's the language. See, we don't have the people to learn how to teach us how to speak to each other growing up and how to interact with one another when we just out in public or on the street. We tend to act as ignorant as we can when we get around each other. Everything goes out the window when we get amongst each other. We start to talk to each other in the most negative ways when, if it was just the opposite, if you were seeing a white person, you wouldn't talk to that same white person the same way you just express yourself to the black person. When we speak to each other, we tend to talk like we're dumb, or we talk down, like we can't speak to each other with respect. We got to speak to each other negatively and use the N-word over and over again amongst ourselves, and to always throw out B-words. And when we see each other, it seems like it's almost like this trigger that goes off in each other's minds. It's like, okay, now I can talk all this crap that I want to. I can express myself with the most negative words that I want to. See, we got to learn how to talk to each other and talk to each other in public and talk to each other with respect in the street. Because even back in the day when the gangsters was in the street, they still know how to express themselves with respect to one amongst themselves and each other. It was still the code of ethics of you still had to have respect. Now, if you don't learn that and all you do is don't have no self-respect, then you will never get to the point of respect, because respect starts with self. You have to respect yourself first. And if you do that, then you will never disrespect anybody else, because you respect yourself and you want respect back, so you won't disrespect someone else because you don't want them to disrespect you. It's like one day this brother started cussing at me. I said, excuse me, brother, but I'm not going to disrespect you with that kind of language, because we're both men. And so I don't want you to disrespect me with that kind of language either. So, and that's kind of how it went. And he backed down, talking that way. And, I was just like, I'm trying to diffuse the situation with all the vulgar words. We don't have to talk to each other like that. Let's just talk to each other. We don't have to say anything out of the box when we get together and see another black person and say, oh, now I can talk my shiggity. It shouldn't be that. You shouldn't see somebody and then all of a sudden now your language and all your whole thing goes down from 12th grade to the second grade. Now you're using second grade vocabulary or third grade or fourth grade, whatever it is. you're using the worst vocabulary that you can find to express yourself with. We don't have to do that. And that's the reason why we have all these issues with each other on these streets and everywhere else, because we don't know how to speak to each other with respect. We know how to speak to each other with disrespect, and we can do that. We know how to, we got a PhD in that one. But we need to have that same PhD in the opposite way of respecting ourselves. All right, go ahead, my brother. Help him out.
Yeah, if I could add to that. Honestly, I'll tell you what the difference is. It's the way that it's handled, because now when I was out there, you know, hanging out with the motorcycle clubs and all that, and I'm going to tell you, white boys are way worse than we could ever possibly be. But what happens is when the cops are called every 5 minutes for them, it's a conversation. You know, the cop is like, hey, you know, what's going on? And, you know, blah, they blew, because they're part of that community. But when they show up for us, it's guns drawn, lights blazing. I mean, it's actually just a perception of it. But believe me, they get down a lot harder than we do. I mean, I'm down talking down to blood, stabbing. Mm-hmm. The whole nine yards, but it's just not—it's not reported the same.
There's way more of them out here. There's way more of them too than us.
Yeah. Well, see, that's another thing, Alpha Male. It's like when something go down, is you know how to talk, then you can get yourself out of some trouble. But if you don't know how, and all you do is start cussing and carrying on, like even when the bikers and all that, and the white bikers get out of hand, and the cops get called on them, and the cops come out, and then the lead bikers, they come up and start talking to the cops. Those lead bikers is kind of diffusing everything to make these cops go away. But the black
and the
dudes,
same,
they
the same with the black bikers.
They do the but same see, thing.
They do the same thing, but see, when a white cop approaches a black dude, he's there to escalate the situation because he has this preconceived notion that
you're right.
You're a beast, right?
You're right.
So,
you're right.
I'm being respectful. I'm talking to him. Well, in his mind, you know what I mean? You shouldn't be talking to him. Matter of fact, if they headed their way, it would still be a crime to look them in the eye. So, mm-hmm. But they approach Billy Bob differently. You know, like, come on, guys. You know, I don't want to take anybody to jail. You know,
and if somebody's
irate, they're like, look, take him somewhere, take him to the side somewhere, because we don't want to have to lock him up. It's like,
that's right.
It's just different. It's different.
It's that white. Oh my goodness. It's a pass that they give. It's like it's some love though. That's white love, I guess.
Bam.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
But see, that's the thing. See, when we look at that, sometimes we might say that's a bad thing. But that's called self-preservation. So when we do that, we'd be like, okay, well, why can't we do that? Why can't the same black officer come out and give you that respect and try to look at it, bro? Look, I don't want to take you to jail, bro, man. Just look. So and so, they do the same thing.
I'm going to say it. When black officers first got on the force, then, you know, once they got in good, let's just say after 10, 15, 20 years, let's just say that, like, so during the 60s and the 70s, the black officers had that kind of attitude where they would do that protective stuff towards black people, because they knew some of them from the neighborhood, because they would walk beats and they know a lot of people, and they wouldn't want to take them to jail unless they really had to. And if they were a little drunk or something, they might say, look, man, straighten up, or I'm going to have to carry you to jail, you know, just protecting, instead of going by the book and say, oh, you drunk, you can't be disorderly, and just going by the book and put him in cuffs and carrying him to jail. So the initial officers did used to offer that, but it was after the 90s when they all retired, and when the new cops started coming in, they started treating black people real like a whole lot of crap. like the new one from like 88 on up to all the way up to now. All right, that's all I got for that.
But okay. Now, there's still some black cops, you know, that'll give you a pass. I ran across a couple of them. You know, you do something, they'll give you a pass, you know.
Probably so.
Yeah, I've seen some police. Now, black police, they was telling me, like, telling us some stuff. Like, say you had to, like, certain officers, cause you got to look at it. These white guys, listen, like, same movies we talk about, Bad Boys. I mean, you know, what's that now? Boys in the Hood. All of these movies, y'all got to understand, imagery is very important. You got to understand, they watch this. They listen to the music where you talk about, I'm going to blast this N-word. I'm going to do this here when I got this. I got this Glock on me. I got a Stendo clip. All they hear this same kind of stuff. They hear this. So how you think they feel? How you think they think about you? They've been taught the same lie. Y'all are savages. Y'all are beasts. You this way, you that way, and they see the so-called stereotypes. And some of our people live up to the goddamn stereotypes. So you know they didn't grow up in AKA hood. So you automatically know they scared of the mother sucker when they get their call. They know Billy Ray because you know Billy Ray usually because like if it's a small towns when I be pulling garbage up, and they had a police. They might only thing they probably get in them little small ass towns like Mayberry, you know, something like that. They get, you know, Billy get drunk and shit like that. He might, you know, get drunk, want to argue with his wife. Police pull up. Come on now, Ray. You know better than that shit. Sit your ass down. Come on, let me take you around the corner, man. You can let you cool off. They know that all they going right. They know him. They know right. them. So they know their behavior, what they going to do. But they, like us, with the imagery and they seeing you with your pants hanging off your ass. I'm going to play something, too. Let me play something. And they hear this type of shit that's being portrayed. Sometimes I look at it like, man, I look at some of our people like, I ain't going to say I'm fearful, but I'm like, hey, man, I don't want to have to lay your little young ass down. I don't want to have to blast your my own people because it's a certain way that we carry ourselves. And I understand the imagery, but certain things that happen, you think some motherfucker that don't live there, don't be around you, they sure enough intimidated. And well, some of us live in the AKA hood and you know, be on our P's and Q's. And you imagine somebody else that don't. That's why even black police who grew up in the hood, they can come through, you know what I'm saying? They understand what's going on. They be chilling. The white boy, he nervous as a motherfucker. But like I'm going to play this quick clip, but it's a black police, like he was saying, hey, he like, they tell you, hey, man, we'll tell you, hey, bro, y'all want to fight? He said, shit, I can take this goddamn. Like, yeah, if you ain't had that gun on you, man, I'll whoop your gun in that badge. I'll whoop your ass. Like, hey. Like your brother was telling me, I have several black police talking to today. Like, hey, we'll tell a brother, hey, look, we'll take this shit off. It ain't no thing to me. So, like I said, one dude, he was telling he had a situation. He ran across a dude. Dude would always tell him, man, yeah, if I catch you without that badge on, boy, yeah, it's going down. Like, all right. So he said he pulled a dude over one time. The police said he saw dude. He literally just pulled him over, no reason. Just the bull. He said, hey, man. Hey, but he was still in the police car. He's like, look here. It was like 2 in the morning. He said, ain't nobody out here, man, me and you. Hey, I can pull this shit off. He said, I'll pull this shit off, put it in the police car. He said, what's up? We can do it. Hey, bro, if you win, hey, it's on. You know what I mean? Just like that. He said, man, they got to fight like a motherfucker out there. And then he said, man, you know, him and dude got to throwing down. He said, he ain't taking the jail. He said, hey, man, you had the shot. It's over with. He said, man, most of the black police said they'll fight. He said, they'll tell the white police when they be on call. Let me handle this. So they'll take their shit off and go to fight, fist fight. So they grew up in the hood. They know that. But some white boys ain't grew up in the hood. All that ain't going to shit. Man, you think I'm in the fight like Mike Tyson? You got me. I'm in the blast. Exactly. I'm not in the fight this Evander Holyfield, Mike Tyson looking motherfucker. Shit, you crazy. What's the dude, man? The other big dude, Kimbo Slice. You crazy as hell. Man, I'm not finna fight this fool. You know, a little bit of it, you know, somebody like, you know, life in the finna fight Devo. You crazy as hell.
No,
see, somebody in the hood, he used to fight big motherfuckers like that. He got ran holes every time, and he got cornered. He had to fight them big ass dudes.
I met Devo one time in real life.
Yeah. But I'm gonna run and play this here. Now, check this out. Now, dude. Let's just play this a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Just you say this clip. You already know what it is.
Oh, shit.
This is
somebody get smacked in the point down the area the other day, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you. Somebody get killed out here every other day, bro. Point shady, bro.
Nigga, it felt like the bullets was never gonna stop. Nigga, the car was like ding 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 ding. Man, what are you getting on shit? But nigga, we keep it all together. Nigga, we a unity. Nigga, we don't give a.
Hello, wait a minute, y'all. And this is European that's talking right now. This
a
is
white
European
boy.
All this N word right now. I just want y'all to hear, excuse me for the N words, you know, but I just want y'all to hear this conversation and how they feel. This is natural. This is natural.
Fuck about none of that other shit, nigga. We all we got up here.
We're not even halfway through
the
our
biggest
man.
It's
the biggest block for real. The biggest project housing out here.
MVP TV. Did I get it right?
We gotta do it. Yeah, you gotta jazz it up a little bit more.
This nigga just said we gotta stay saucy. We gotta stay saucy, nigga, because I don't gotta say shit. Signed to the streets, nigga. The real MVP TV, nigga. I don't need a nigga to tell me twice, nigga. It's Big 700, nigga, on my mama, nigga. R.I.P.
Nah, nigga.
Shout out to all my niggas. Harvard niggas, all my niggas. Hey,
look. Uptop shit, we drop shit, man. Y'all talking about
we all gorillas.
Can I look at this good for you?
Ronnie, no cameras on
the cameras, straight boarded up houses and shit, bro. Some shady shit.
San Francisco, California, nigga. We in the Bayview District. We in Hunters Point. And we on Harbor Road right now.
Hey, why? They know Louis.
Yeah. I've been, you know what I'm saying?
Good dog.
Like I was saying, though. Yeah, I'm talking about uptown shit, nigga. We drop shit. Yeah, I'm talking about ain't nobody to say, nigga. You talking about White Harbor is you deep from whoever we deep from.
They not beefing. They had a disagreement. I just told you. Yeah. Bro, them niggas had a disagreement on some music shit, bro. One nigga went one way. Them other niggas went the other way, bro. Them niggas went to go fuck with. Bro, niggas from over here went to go fuck with some niggas that wasn't from over here, bro. Just because, like, bro, it's real niggas from everywhere, bro.
Let me skip my little Ford Escort. Got a...
Y'all can get moved to the left. Yeah, we don't get this was so crazy. If niggas be so adjusted to this shit. If a nigga get killed right now, we just gonna be like, damn, blah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Another day, you know what I'm saying? I'm not even trying to hype it, but the point really shady, bro. Like, niggas don't know.
Bug and shit. When you can't.
So, I'm just stopping, y'all. My bad for all the N-words and all. But you see, if a brother, if a brother get killed, it's just the N-word just laying on the street. It's like, it's just normal. It's just what happened. It's just normal, okay? It's just normal, just like waking up every day. A brother gets shot down on the street. It's a situation that happened. You know, I guess that's normal, right? That's normal life, right? That's how we get down in the hood. But I'll tell you.
It is for a lot
I'm
of
thankful,
people,
man.
I'm thankful
that I get a chance to ride around by doing this sanitation, man. I've got a chance to ride around through a lot of communities and to see, get out of the city life, see different parts of the city, different, economic, middle class, upper class, all of that. So when I see a lot of things I get out of the so-called city, the city of Memphis, and get out of the city part, inner city, and I get into other places, and I like to say I see some communities, maybe I guess middle class black communities, and I don't see the same type of environment. I see people who love their community. They love where they living at. And you ain't finna have all that shit hanging out on the corners. You ain't finna have all that paper shit all everywhere. And people look out for each other. They look out for, they already peeping the game for their neighbors. Some of them don't. Some of them people keep to themselves. And I even see some so-called white communities like that. I go in white neighborhoods. Some of them, they probably don't even know each other, everybody in the neighborhood. You might ask them, you know, your neighbor right here, man, trying to check on the guy. I don't really know him, you know, so-and-so, this and that. But anyway, you ain't going to do shit in that neighborhood. You ain't finna bring no ruckus in that goddamn neighborhood. That's for sure. There's a lot of stuff that happened in the inner city that we allow to happen. And it's just like, well, I grew up in poverty. That's just the way it is. Ain't nothing I can do about it. You know, crime, robbery, alcohol, the drugs. Hey, man, they're just part of growing up in the hood. This shit just come natural. That's what come with growing up in the hood. That's what come with growing up poor. All of these things, it's like a package. You got a starter package, a basic package for cable. Then you got a premium package. Then you got an ultimate package. When you grow poor, all of these stuff come natural with you. That's how it damn near some people think or act like. This is the way it's supposed to be. This shit is normal. This shit is just normal. No, it's not. And a lot of stuff that we see is, and like we're saying again, we allow a lot of this stuff to happen. That's why I said, why is it that we got poverty in a lot of other communities. I go in also to trailer parks, a lot of trailer parks where it's just nothing, straight Hispanics, Mexican, amigos that's in there. You don't see none of that bullshit like you see that happen in our community. You don't even hear about it. But when I was in jail, 201, you know, I see a Mexican come to jail for, where we ever seen a Mexican come to jail? Drunk. He might have went to a club, but he might have stabbed somebody. But they be drunk as a motherfucker when you see a amigo coming in there. Not robbery, rape, murder, and all that other shit that you'll see majority of us in there. And I'll tell you what. Now, another brother just got out of jail for doing 30-some-odd years. I just seen that on the television today. He just got out of jail for 30-some-odd years. Found out he was innocent, which a lot of people did. I think that's the guy that Meek Mills brought up the case about. I forget the brother name. But check it out, y'all. I've been inside the fucking system. And I know some people in there are innocent. And they said, well, go down to 201, man. Like 201 is what they call here, the jail system down here, 201 Poplar. That's the address. Man, you're going to see number of people down there, man. That's all you see down there. Well, I'm going to tell y'all, some people just, they are down there, just some bullshit. But we act like, though, when I'm talking about us over here, but a lot of our black people act like, black people ain't doing some of the shit that we're being accused of. Like you see some of these activists out here. I've heard the brothers tell the fucking stories about what they did and what they were doing. And you might have five or six brothers who probably, I ain't admit it. Probably two or three brothers might be in a dorm. Might, out of 40 brothers in the dorm, some brother probably got caught up on some bullshit, probably false charges or whatnot. But damn near everybody else, the other shit, 38, them motherfuckers did something. They did the shit they was in there for. I don't give a damn what it was, if it was just some regular domestic violence. A lot of them cats did what they doing. So, you know, and that ain't trying to beat up on us as a people. It's just, but if it is, it's to make us better and realize we got to stop, man, covering up for bad behavior in our fucking communities. Like, we ain't really doing shit to cause what's happening to us. We can push the blame around for the elders before us. We can say they ain't did this, they ain't did that. But still, again, okay, if they didn't, then something instilled in you, something in you to say, like me, I had to get tired of the shit that I was doing. When I had to realize that I was hurting myself, my mother, and my brother didn't understand why his brother constantly going in jail. When I had to realize this shit, hey, man, I'm sick of this shit, bro. I am sick and tired of living like this. This ain't even living. I just been here. This ain't what life was about. That was not life. When I got sick of that shit, bro, I had to do something about that. I had to do something about it. I've done all of that shit. So some things, you know, people just, you might can just, it ain't like I'm just on here just spouting to talk down to our brothers and sisters. I've been in the motherfucking streets. I've been out there and done some of that ignorant ass shit. And I do say it was ignorant shit. It did. I did. So you don't have to do the, it's like I said, like Alpha Male was saying, some of this shit, some of y'all just want to do it. Ain't no we can do nothing about it. Ain't no we can do about it. You happy with it? You fine with it? Cool. Some people are just thinking because society said it's okay, so it's just the way it is. Everybody else doing it. And wow, I'm glad I said that. This radio station here in the city called WDIA with Bobby O.J. Man, Bobby O.J. been and also the first black radio station in the nation. And Bobby O.J., man, been around, shit, I don't know what, 40-some years in the industry, talk show host. He's actually getting inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame here in the state of Tennessee. But anyway, they had a conversation the other day, right? And he was talking about some of the stuff we talk about, the crime in the community and what's happening with black people in the community. And he was talking about the generations and stuff. And a caller called in. He's like, no, that wasn't, I take that back. It wasn't Bobby O.J. I take that back. That was Bobby O.J. said something else. I take that back. But still, shout out to WDIA. But Thaddeus Matthews. Y'all know Thaddeus Matthews, the cussing pastor on YouTube, man, the cussing pastor. So Thaddeus Matthews, and damn, that is what my ass be hearing me comparing him to Bobby OJ, because they don't like each other. Well, Thaddeus don't like Bobby. But anyway, a caller calling Bobby, Thaddeus Matthews, talk about running for mayor. He was talking about running for mayor, and somebody called in and said, you don't need to run for mayor because you don't like black people. You talk down against black people. He said, I talk down against black people because I tell black people about themselves, about their behavior, how you acting, and how you allowed yourself to get played, which you do. Like you said, constructive criticism. He don't talk down against. Hell, he do anything, everything to help to uplift the black community. He just don't play no goddamn games. He go after the black politicians. You bullshitting the people. He's going to tell you. He's going to expose your ass. He don't give a damn. He ain't about no colorism, no none of that. He just straight to the point. He's raw and uncut for real. So, but the caller was told him he don't need to run for mayor because he don't care about black people. He said, so you mean to tell me that he was saying something about black people killing themselves and committing crime and stuff. He said, so we ain't not supposed to do nothing about that. He said, no. Everybody else doing it. So why not black people do it? Huh? Wait a minute. So black folks, because everybody else shooting up each other, killing each other, aborting their babies, all this, you know, stuff, bad behavior. Black folks need to do it because everybody else doing it. That's one thing. That's in home training 101. And it might be, I don't know, lesson 5 in home training that mama probably said. Y'all always put mama in there. That mama probably told you, boy, let me tell you something. You don't do what everybody else do. Y'all remember this one? If they jump off the bridge, you going to jump off the bridge too? Don't be no damn fool. You don't do what everybody else do. So when I heard that, I was like, wow. See, again, we allow bad behavior. Some of us, we make a bad behavior. We're making excuses for a lot of bullshit. For a lot of bullshit that's happening. Come on, man. No. I mean, maybe it's like, and for me, studying as a Hebrew, I can understand it, and I'm not going to put it out, but I can overstand it, and I damn near believe it, what it says, you know. I ain't going to say I damn near believe it, but I do see some stuff, and I ain't going to espouse this, because this ain't that show. But when the brothers be talking about a lot of those things that's happened to us because of the curses, or they say the curses, or for disobedience, and for this, what do y'all say, God or nature? It damn near seemed like that. That's the reason. Because no matter what, it says again, Hosea 6:4, my people, my people are lost for the lack of knowledge because they reject knowledge. Huh? I told y'all again, it ain't like nobody ain't told them. It says because they reject knowledge. And it says that I will reject you as my priest, and I will also reject your children. Now, Brother LJ was talking about earlier how a lot of our elders probably, you know, some things they probably got off track and messed up along the way. So it may have been some stuff that somebody before them might have been trying to instruct them and tell them about. They didn't want to listen. They didn't want to hear it. But here it goes. Like I said, it says, I will forget your children. So is it something that's happening to us that whatever, how we were believing in, you know, back even in slavery, our ancestors were singing over the Jordan River, and the chariots coming to carry me home. Now, that's another whole subject there. What the hell kind of chariots they singing about, y'all? What they talking about? What they know about that? So did they know some stuff? Did we get off the path somewhere? And it says here in Hosea 4:7, it says, as they were increased, as they sin against me, therefore I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sins of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquities. That seemed to be the case today, man. It's like I said again, we's like, man, fuck all that religious shit. Forget all the mama and them. That's what I've always been touching on. Excuse me, does I forgot. Do we know more today, right? We're still on this about the law. Do we know as younger folks who came after our ancestors, with all of this technology that we have, all these books and stuff, do we know more today than our ancestors of yesterday? Do we know more about life or whatever, right? Do we know more about more have life experience? I just got here yesterday, 2 days ago or whatever, 20 years ago. Mom been here 40 and 50 years. I know more about life than they do, but I just got here. They don't know shit. Even though I'm reading the book, I'm on the internet, I'm watching YouTube, I'm reading some PDF books or whatever, right? I bought a couple of books out the library. I know more about stuff than mom and them. We know more about this. It's like all of us. Elders always try to tell us and warn us, but we act like we know more than them. But they had all the experience. It's like, again, I even think about going back to, we talk about religion. We like, man, fuck all that religion shit, bro. We don't need that bullshit, man, so and so. But I go back, just say the people in the beginning, whether you start in Sumeria, whether you start in Kemet, wherever you started, right? And they had a civilization, these empires, and they had religion, right? They had some kind of spiritual practice. And I would say, and I'm going to start like with Kemet or Sumeria, both of them. They was damn near close. We don't really know when humans came on the planet, but just use this as an analogy. They was right there, right in the beginning, when everything first started. They were damn near like some of the first people that came to the planet. How is it that we today, way back here in 2021, right, we know more about how we got here than the people was right there close in the beginning, right there in the beginning. Right there in the beginning, we know more about how we got here. We know more about God, if God exists, than they do. And they were right there when everything first started. But we know more about all this shit about life than they do. But it seemed to me that how all of this shit that we do, we dig back into the book. All of the books that we read and references go way back to somebody who don't research some way back then. But still, again, now, but we can tell y'all, oh, that's some bullshit. All this about the supreme being, the most high, that was some bullshit. So you mean, how did your elders way back then come up with that concept? Where did they get that from? So you know more than, you more smarter than them now because you got technology. You got motherfuckers writing books. They around here doing lectures on YouTube and wherever else they doing lectures there. So now you are more intelligent than them, and they was right there in the beginning when all this shit started happening, when it first started happening. So you know more than them. Please tell me how to build a pyramid. No, take that back. Don't tell me how to build a pyramid. Go out there and build that motherfucker. I want you to build it the exact same way that they built that motherfucker. I don't need no fabrication. I don't need no plywood. I don't need none of this shit. I want it to be built the same way that they built the motherfucker.
You know, when you're talking about people who lived a long time ago, and they had a way of understanding how to live where they were and how to live a life that would be suitable and sustainable. So that was dealing with intelligence all the way back then. And to come all the way forward and to look at maybe your grandmother, your great-grandmother, and who had so much common sense. They might not have went to school. They might not have got a good education. They might not even have gotten to be literate. But they had the best common sense on the planet. They just knew to do the right type of things with just common sense. So as we have come to where we are, common sense ain't common anymore, because all of those commonsensical traits that our ancestors and our great grandparents and them had, we don't even have an inkling of what they had. And they were smart. They knew so much about so many different things. And they knew so many different things about things that would just keep you safe or protected or something. They just knew something. They were smart. And we don't even have that kind of smartness with all our education, with all our knowledge of the computers and everything you've learned and everything. You ain't got no common sense on your ancestors.
Well, I think
ancestors. Go ahead, my brother.
I think you just hit the nail on the head.
Thanks.
You're everything there is taught to dumb you. I mean, put there to dumb you down. See, the most important thing about the elders you were talking about who had strong common sense but no education, one thing they did that everybody that's around me that I know refused to do is to be quiet for extended periods of time. Because if you overstimulate anything, you can watch 1,000 videos a day. You have knowledge, but you don't have wisdom. You just got a bunch of concepts and ideas buzzing through your head. But if you get to the place where you can be quiet physically and spiritually, that's when your growth happens. And I didn't mean to cut you off, but you were on it. You were on it.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks, Brother Alphamel. It's like the pyramids and building those magnificent structures all over the world, all over this planet. They are all under the water, deep under the oceans. They're millions and millions and even billions of years old. We've been doing this for a very long time, up until when that kind of knowledge had to be put to bed. And so we're dumbed down now. We're nowhere intelligent as the people who lived here billions of years ago. Not even close. Alpha Male?
Can I say something real quick, you guys?
I want you to.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Brother Alpha Male, I appreciate what you just said. I personally needed to hear that. Because, again, at least from my experience, I came up in a generation where I had a few experiences with brothers who would give that wisdom and actually have that wisdom. But when that's for most of the generation, either taken away from them or have never had that, they don't even know how to, when you say common sense is common, they missed even having the basics of common sense around them to know how to process what common sense is. Like you said, the TV, the music, so on and so forth, dumbs them down. So it's not from my perspective, I'm not saying that as an excuse for anything. What I'm saying is, from my experience, I also see why people around me are doing the things that they are doing or have the mindset that they have.
Right. Well, the gifts I've been given, just based on not talking, are immense. They're pretty amazing, and I don't talk about a lot of things. It starts to sound like bragging, but unplugging from everything, I mean everything, your physical body, your thoughts, your desires, your wants, just be quiet. Just enjoy yourself. You'll hear things. You'll start to learn things that you had no idea that you needed to know or wanted to know. And it only happens in silence. And that's what I would say, right after Public Enemy. Now, they had good music, but if you would really listen to the music, it was chaotic. It was constant stimulation. By the time you got the positive message. There was something squealing, squeaking, booming, and to me that's unhealthy, you know. So, yeah, you have to learn how to enjoy nothingness before you can gain wisdom. And I'm going to get off my soapbox.
Pretty good soapbox.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. That's a jewel. I appreciate that.
But see, that's the same thing in spirituality. A lot of brothers say this meditation. That we say, like, meditation, you get to yourselves. And like me, in the morning, when I get ready to go to work, I get in the car, I don't turn no radio on, no nothing. It's just me, and I just say the Creator. Y'all know, I got to say that. It's just me and the Creator. And like I said, a lot of things, I have my private conversations and this and that. I don't have nothing on distracting. Just me and, you know, giving all praise and stuff like that and honor. That's it.
Such a great way to start your day. Oh, my God.
That's it. That's the same thing that a lot of brothers and sisters, we say that maybe people say in religion. That's what we see. That's why a lot of brothers be saying, well, I can't understand when you look at, I call them oracles. Most so-called prophets that you would say, some people say oracles. And we like, I can't understand everybody in the Bible, they always talking about they got stuff in a dream. How they get stuff in a damn dream? Always God was giving them stuff in a dream. And it's just what you're saying. A spiritual person in this physical body, how do we think we get this shit inside? Like you basically, like said, so you get quiet, you get somewhere by yourselves. That's why I even said the New Testament said you get in your prayer closet. It's basically be somewhere still on. And you do it. Basically like hear things just come to you. That's what we even talk about, even in, but people, I'm using this term, where people always want to say religion. When you understand it, that's what it is. And man, we may say the Most High. We don't know this shit. We can't say, but we just give it to say the Most High. It does. You're sitting quiet. That's what we talk about, prayer, meditation. So people say you pray, you sit down somewhere, and be real still, be quiet, and then answers will come to you. So that's
what's happening while I'm sitting on my throne. No.
Well, if you fall asleep or if you're sitting there that long, we need to talk. But I tell you something crazy. Me and my wife don't even talk for a couple of hours when we get up.
Yeah,
that's not crazy. That's a way of having a understanding. I mean, that's what y'all want to do. It's like peace. You both are on the same vibe, and that's how you want to start your day, with no talking. And then you come to a point where now you're going to come to a point where you're sharing peace and love with each other, I'm sure, at some point, right, Brother Alpha Mel?
Absolutely.
But you're starting your day quiet, you're doing your thing, like as if you were in your own private life, and she was in hers, and you're in your own world early in the morning trying to get yourself together. You're both kind of, you want to, you know, get your breath right, get your body order right, get your clothes on, whatever, you know, at least look presentable to each other. And then by the time you read your paper or go through your little early morning thing and she does hers, then you start speaking and you're sharing your love and with each other. And there's nobody waking up cussing at you or calling you a name or telling you something that you ain't trying to hear or causing you to have a headache when you just woke up in the morning.
And I'll
go ahead, Amir.
No, I was gonna say, I don't know if you remember growing up, like your parents would say, "Boy, don't ask me nothing when I'm asleep."
Yeah.
Well, that's the same concept. You know what I mean? I need time to get the fall down, and I'm sure she does. Like, don't hit nobody with 20 questions so they roll off the pillow.
Yeah. Because for me, I'm waking up, I'm trying to decipher these dreams I just had.
Right.
That's me. What was the message in these dreams I was having? That's why, like me, I've been like the same way sometimes. If we don't conversate all the time.
Yeah,
I don't turn on anything until I know that I'm kind of woke, kind of good enough to understand right. And, you know, get myself together there. But a lot of people wake up right away, they're doing something too fast, and then they're getting involved with something before they let God settle in and get their day started and get their thoughts going. And then you start, you know, doing things that you can do and have control over instead of having control over you.
Yeah, let me tell you something else. In the morning, my voice is so deep you couldn't understand what the hell I was saying anyway. It just sounded like a mumble anyway.
See, so there's no need. Like if you was dating your wife and you was like, look, I ain't going to call her early in the morning anyway. So this is something that you...
Well, that's where it started. That's where the training began. You know, I didn't just spring it on her later. I was like, yo, this is me. Here I go. Ain't nothing going to change. It might get better, but ain't nothing going to change.
Ain't no love lost. I'm just doing me early in the morning. If I don't speak to you, I don't mean I don't love you, baby. It's just that I'm getting myself together first.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yes, sir. Yeah, and, go ahead.
No, I was going to just say silence is golden. And I know it's a cliche, but it's the truth.
I mean, because I've been woken up to drama and stuff to start your day with. It's not good. Like, it sends a bad vibe through your body when you're dealing with nonsense to start your morning mm-hmm. off with. So I've gotten away from that kind of environment. I hate to start my day off on a negative note or with just a negative vibe to start my day off with, because it seems like your whole day can go that way if someone starts your day off in a negative way.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I forgot. I read some things here about this letter. He was talking about the lost black boys, lost generation of black boys. And even if it's still on this article he had on here, okay, it is, please consider these simple goals that can lead to solutions for fixing the problems of young black men. And there's some of the short terms they had on here. It says teach all black boys to read at grade level by the third grade and to embrace education. That's number one. Number two, provide positive role models for black boys. That's number one. What in the hell are they looking at right now? They looking at who are some of these so-called positive role models some of these dudes looking at right now? Most of them like 21 Savage, rappers like 21 Savage and hell, Young Thug. You know, a lot of them, they looking at, what's dude name them? Dude live in Memphis. Goddamn, I can't think of his name. He got really was from Chicago. I can't even think of these goddamn rappers' name. But most of them is like
Living in the Baby.
Trap rappers. Yeah, there you go. And Sisters, and Megan Thee Stallion, and, you know, the other one,
yeah.
People like that. That's basically their role model. It ain't too many you're going to hear as a majority, as the masses now. We talk about the masses. You have some that, not everybody, we're not generalizing everybody. But it says, create a stable home environment for black boys that include contact with their fathers. Number four, ensure that black boys have a strong spiritual base. Y'all know that's my goddamn fundamental. That's my number one fundamental principle. That's what I'm always screaming. That's what I'm always saying. Ensure black boys have a strong spiritual base. That's been my thing from start. I mean, it worked for me, but that's why I pushed it. And you gotta even understand me as so-called being Israelite. That's what I say. Israelite ministry, whatever else. That's what I pushed. But
I agree with you on that.
I'm going to say, you know, this one here. Even the dude on WDA, now the dude I'm talking about, Bobby OJ, now this is what he did say. Now he's a Christian, he go to church. But what he was saying, he like, this the government paying for everything else? Because they didn't just talking about solutions about all these problems in Memphis with all of this crime that's going on and this stupid stuff that's happening. And these are elders. These are old people that listen to this show. Ain't no young folks calling this show. And all of them be trying to come up with something that says stupid. But he was like, if the government, they paying for every damn thing else. He's like, now he's a Christian though, so he would say. He's like, all the government just pay these mamas and grandmamas to make sure these children go to church every goddamn. Just pay them. They paying for everything else. Pay them to make sure they go to church every day. At least for a year.
That was his thing. He said. But anyway, he said because, you know, it was some other stuff that he was saying. Not just teaching, but just teaching
them. I mean, they should do something. Make them do something.
He went into teaching them why. Because he was
I'd rather
saying
them do that.
Morals. If he was saying about
like
the morals and stuff like
that,
he was talking about. Yeah, he wasn't talking about no, you know, just to teach about Jesus, but he was like the morals and discipline.
Yes.
And
yes,
like
man.
That. Hell, send him to the Nation of Islam. Roll him in FOI classes. Hell, for something or damn year. Something. And I
Dr. Umar school. Dr. Umar school. Mm-hmm.
Oh, hell no. Well, let me, you missed the goddamn. Well, let me finish reading. I'm gonna get off of that. It says, number five, control the negative media influence on black boys. Was that, who said that?
Oh, that was me, LJ. I said, I agree with you on that somewhere. I definitely agree with you on that. Either, like, because the only thing that got me and some other people away from doing certain things is that we was exposed to something different. You know what I mean? We were exposed to, you know, the Nation of Islam. We was taking and going to lectures or to museums and certain stuff when we were younger. And then, you know, around the age when everybody was doing certain things. You know what I mean? I gratefully, I moved to another part of San Francisco that wasn't, you know, like the one I came up in, and got opportunity just from being over there and knowing neighbors and things like that. So sometimes, you know what I mean, certain people, you know, where they come from, they people may be, you know, the same way how they are. You know what I mean?
And it's something that I see that somebody need to, I know, Farrakhan is up in age now. He can't do it like he used to. I remember when I first got out of jail, when I came into the knowledge, got into the knowledge and stuff like this. I remember going to see Donald Winslow Farrakhan. Y'all remember Farrakhan used to go all over the United States. He had something called men's only meetings. When he was addressed a lot of stuff as men, like how we should, you know, better be better fathers, better, you know, just men in general and things that was happening to us. Men's only meetings. I know that stopped a couple. I don't know when that stopped, but I remember that. I clearly remember him going all around the United States at one time doing those. So it's those something to that degree, not probably just lecture, but workshops or something. Could be done, you know, to bring that back. Something has to be done because, like I said, man, maybe younger, somebody might say I'm just being negative, but I don't see no end in sight to this shit the way it's going. I don't see no end in sight the way it's going. I promise, I really don't. And the way that these politicians are really just destroying the people, babysitting them, paying them just to stay at home and don't do nothing, and this whole agenda they're trying to play with people, I think it's really finna get real goddamn ugly for so-called black Americans. That's just my opinion. I'm not trying to be negative, but there's so many things that I've read over the years, I've studied over years, I listened to my elders say, and damn it, look, a lot of this shit don't just come out of my mind. There's a lot of stuff I've heard my elders say, man, and I've seen it manifesting. And like a brother told me a long time ago, man, how do you know something is the truth? Y'all heard me say this numerous times. How do you know something is true? When you see it manifest, when nature gonna make it manifest. I've seen a lot of stuff manifest from some of the things elders have said and told me. And I see it. And there's no end in sight. Like even the stuff that we say, man, we wanna be stone hearted, don't wanna listen to nothing, we wanna reason out, well, this ain't the reason, that ain't the reason. I've seen it. I've seen it because I've heard, I listened to some of the elders. I probably at the time it didn't resonate with me because I didn't want to hear it. But I see a lot of the shit, man, that's happening. I don't see no end in sight to it. It's getting worse and worse out there. When it get to the point, man, like I said, just even the simplest part where black men were men now. I'm gonna keep it with us. Don't even know how to wear their pants. I think it's like a mental retardation, and I'm not trying to talk down on nobody being mentally retarded, but it's like a mental retardation. You got your pants with a belt on, but your pants is hanging way down at your goddamn knees. Just like if you don't even know how to properly wear your fucking pants on around your waist, I don't see you being there. Nothing else going to come out of this shit. I mean, that's how you think that's normal. Your ass crack hanging out. You think that's normal as a man.
You have some prominent elders that's turning it into a revolutionary act. So just like we're saying, you know, decency is just a thing. You know, I mean, you want to be decent. Now you got, and I mean, prominent and influential blacks saying that's a revolutionary act because. That's the way the man wants you to be. So wearing your pants with your ass out is revolutionary. And I'm like, wow. But go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, a lot of these, that's why I said I don't get down with that Black Power movement shit no more. Excuse my French, y'all. I don't mess with that because it's bought and paid for. It's been bought and paid for. All of that was another. They talk about the civil rights movement. The white folks were controlling that. Oh, my. Like Johnny Gill. Oh, I found out some stuff that the Black Power community, y'all, it ain't what y'all think. Now, the white man had his hands in that creating that shit, too. It's just false bullshit. But where is
Brother
your power?
Stoner.
Yes, sir.
Now, I have to research this. But a researcher, if I understand what he was saying, was correct. The Civil Rights Act was actually... the second Rights Act. So the one that was before that was actually a good deal for everybody. But something happened. They rewrote it, and that's how they ended up with the Civil Rights Act that actually took center stage. But, yeah, from what I understand, what was legislated is far worse than what was in place prior.
Look into that. But you know how people always, you know, go against, like, when I'm about the civil rights, you know how people be talking about, man, the civil rights leaders, man, they jacked us up. They messed us off, you know what I'm saying, and integrated us. But then you find out a lot of stuff with this so-called Black Power movement. Hey, it wasn't too much no better. I ain't going to say what they sold you. This dude, like, what did they get you? What did they do for you, actually? That's what I was like. What does the Janet Jackson, what have they done for you lately? What have they done besides holla Black Power? Yeah, well, just holla Black Power. That ain't doing shit for me. That's all.
Hell no.
It's a feel-good, you know, slogan, but we need some tangibles. What tangibles have they really got done? And you look at a lot of them, man, these people back in the day were linked up. We talk about right now. Them linking up with communists and socialists. That's all I'm going to say on that. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave that alone. But we got to do better, man. You just got to think for yourself, brothers and sisters, man. Hey, like I said, Malcolm said we've been hoodwinked and bamboozled. It's a lot of shit, man. If we going to get our shit right, hey, man, I don't know. We can blame the young folk. We can blame the elders. We can blame everybody. But somehow the blame game got to stop and some shit got to change. That's all. Some shit got to change. I'm sick of it. I'm 50 years goddamn old. I'm tired of seeing this shit. I'm going in other goddamn communities every day riding. I'm seeing this shit. I'm like, man, what the hell's wrong with us, man? How come everybody else can damn near do something? I got to go way in this neighborhood where I can feel, I ain't going to feel safe, but just saying, don't see the bullshit, man. We can do it. It's just like picking up paper. Just picking up paper, just simple, man. All the paper be in our neighborhood. They had a thing, they were showing in Memphis, how they had this lady, in the black neighborhood, and it was like a road where no houses was on, but it goes into a park. You know what, that ain't too far from where I live at. It's probably about 15 minutes, though. And they had to put up cameras and stuff. Some people don't made it a dumping site. And they just show, they got cameras all up, and people still dumping. Don't even give a damn about the police cameras. And the black lady on there like, it's ridiculous. She said, this make you don't want to live in this community anymore.
Justice know all about that.
Yeah. It's definitely definitely a lot of eyesores in Philly when it comes to streets being dirty and trash everywhere. And most of that comes from the corner stores. As the children leave the stores, they take out what they bought out of the bag, and they throw the bag from the store right on the ground. Then they take out the chips or the little cake or something like that, whatever it is, and they throw that bag on the ground. So then those bags blow down the street, and then they settle in on the fences and on the yards and everything. So that trash from that corner store is responsible for a whole lot of trash just around the neighborhood from each direction that people walk from the store, because people don't got sense enough to teach their children to not litter their stuff right there on the street. No one's teaching their children to not do that. And so they find like they seem like it's normal or natural to throw their stuff on the street.
But the grown folks do it.
Grown folks do it too because they have a mindset. It's a mindset.
I see brand new Hondas, Escalades, Lexus, right on my street throwing out McDonald's wrappers and bags.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's a mindset.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a trashy mindset.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you think like that.
I go through some community, bro. I be messing with them. I was like, I look down the street. We be dumping the garbage. I always be paying attention to everything. I'm like, I said, man, well, y'all must clean this goddamn community. Y'all must go through y'all community with a vacuum cleaner. Be vacuuming up these communities. Man, I don't see no paper nowhere. And I'm telling you, you drop that garbage. Man, you be dumping garbage. Well, you better not drop no paper. Oh, man, they going to come right out of there. They might pick it up or they might call in on your ass, man. Y'all drop. You're going to go back and pick that paper up. And it's like it's natural. That's why we be saying it sometimes. We just be joking, but we really just saying how sad it is. It's like some apartment we go pick up. You like, man, hey, if you drop some paper, shit, they ain't going to know it. They wouldn't know what the hell you dropped in there. It's already dirty and nasty. It's just like it was natural.
Uh-huh.
But you go in some of these other communities, bro. I'm telling you, bro, they be watching you. You better not drop nothing. Are you going to pick that up? You be like, what? Pick up what? You might mean a little bitty damn microscopic. No, I'm exaggerating now. Little microscopic crumb. You going to pick that up? Pick what up? I don't see nothing.
I mean, only way to defeat the whole thing would be to get trash cans and line them up in each direction from corner stores as people walk home, and maybe they might throw their stuff away as they get the point that someone's trying to teach you something.
Yeah,
I've done that now. I got three cans out in front of my truck with the lids open. All they had to do is when you walk down the street, if you finish with your soda bottle or whatever, throw it in the can, right?
Right.
It's still on the ground. It's still in the street. Dang. It's still blowing underneath cars.
Okay, so we need signs. We need signs too, Alpha Male. We gotta put some signs up to not to say don't litter, but to say don't throw your trash on the ground. You know, because I don't think they understand. Maybe litter, they might not even understand what that means. So don't throw your bag on the ground.
Ain't gonna
so
work,
you got man. The little thugs talking about FM. Who do you think
he is? They gonna tear the damn. They gonna tear the sign down.
They I told you man, like, I had sign.
I had a sign in my yard about the key to about crime and stuff. The key to education and stuff like that is knowledge and all this. I told you, man. My wife heard one of the dudes next door. He was talking about ought to go in there and knock the damn sign down out of his yard. You know what I'm saying? Knock the damn sign off.
That's what they do, bro. That's the N-word mentality, you know?
Well, I hate to say it this way, but all we can hope is that they took that COVID shot and they're going to get out of here.
Yeah, they chip the shit out of them. Turn the switch on. Beep. Robot there. Everybody
mm-hmm.
I'm kidding, man. I know a lot of young people think, man, they make you think we talking about it. Yeah, come on, man. Yeah, it is. Hey, man, y'all got to come on, listen to reason. And I know some people going to get mad on this and that. Man, y'all just picking on love. Well, shit. A lot of y'all are the one doing it. You doing
right,
I mean,
right.
Some young kids, man, I pull up, man, at work. First thing, they always talk about being silent in the morning. First thing that I'm pulling up, first thing I hear is loud ad, that music, and then I hear, and then the weed smell popping out the damn, coming out the car. Early in the morning. Here it is. It's 5 in the morning. We got to be at work at 5 o'clock. It's 5 in the morning. This song, 5 in the morning. It's 5 in the morning playing all that damn rap music and weed smoke. And, man, I'm telling you, and I look at the behaviors. I just, even when I'm driving, like I said, I just be driving, just looking at people. Looking at people, observing, seeing their behavior, seeing how things going, ride through some neighborhoods, seeing how things going. I'm just like, man, it's just and like my old neighborhood I grew up in, when my partner and I told y'all got killed. I rode through that neighborhood one day. I said, let me just gonna ride through here and see how everything looks. And now that neighborhood was heavily, not when I was growing up, they were selling dope over there, but then it got to be heavily polluted with heroin. So when I ride through, man, I promise you, bro, it's like I've seen some people in places in New York, they be showing everything, the boarded up, dilapidated houses. I just ride through. I was like, damn, I grew up over here, man, as a little boy. It's some of the stuff is unrecognizable. Houses grew, grass grew over there. Some places the houses torn down. It's ridiculous. It is flat out ridiculous. You know, when Donald Trump was trying to say, man, some of them shithole countries, you know, I'm like, hey, dog, you need to let me take you on a tour to some of these goddamn places here in this city. It's ridiculous what happened with the drugs and everybody thought that shit was like the oval because they thought that shit was cute. Because you looked at the dope boys in the neighborhood riding in his Cadillacs and shit like that with his jewelry on. You thought that shit was cute. But you didn't see the little person who was over there suffering from the dope that he was selling, falling out of that, foaming and shit, sleeping on the corner, sister selling their ass so she can, you know what I'm saying, feel high. You know, so we look at that, man. We don't look at those type of things. Not talking about all of us on Culture Freedom. We know better. Well, you know, people don't look at those type of things and say, hey, man, the effects from all of this type of stuff. You know, we have to say something, like I said. And then, like the article was saying, a lot of churches, because the churches back in the saying, man, the civil rights and all of these movements that we had that it helped empower people, the church was very instrumental. That's why now they shed them. It's no coincidence, like with COVID. They shut the churches down, but churches also called institutions, spiritual institutions. They tried to shut them down for a lot of reasons. I mean, they say it's COVID, but they had to shut down too because some people they need basically what we say religion. They need to be around other people in the church or the mosque or something, because if they didn't, they ass knew they gonna go back to doing a lot of shit. And I see a lot of brothers have fallen off. Back into the ways of the world. See, being around, like that, even when I was in the lobby, and here we had the bookstore in Memphis. Man, I was reading like a mother sucker, man. I'm telling you, because why? Because I was around other people, the influence. That's why, man, the greatest thing they talk about congregating. Because you go in to congregate and whatnot, you be around other people, man, that inspire you. And like Nawabian brother, we'll have class. Right, we might have class. I forgot, damn it. We're like, what, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock? Man, class might be over at 6 o'clock. Shit, the brother don't shut the door and shut the door and lock the door. Man, we still out there, damn it, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night in the parking lot. Still, goddamn it, everybody talking, having a conversation. That brother don't shut the door, cut the lights off. He gone. He finished. We still out there. And, man, I'm telling you, bro, it made me buy books. I was hearing brothers chopping it up because they've been in the organization. They've been around studying. Man, I was buying this book. Soon this book come out, buying this DVD. Man, I'm reading like a motherfucker. I'm thirsty for the knowledge because I'm around other people who read and they studying and talking about stuff. I want to know this shit. I want to know this information. Like, damn. And so even when you congregate, it will help you. Because, you know, because some people need that strong. They need that because they may be, you know, weak a little bit. So But being around somebody else, it encouraged them to stay strong. So by them shutting down a lot of the houses of worship, that's why a lot of people have went back. And y'all notice what they even said. Since COVID, look at the crime rate, how it went up in these communities. Look how the crime rate have went up since the COVID. Why is that? When everybody's supposed to be in the houses it anyway. But go ahead, Alfred.
And suicide. No, I was just adding that, suicides too.
Damn, yes, sir. It's a lot. They know what they was doing. They know exactly what they was doing. They know exactly. So, you know, it's hard to, it's going to be hard to pull these folks back in here now. It's going to be hard to pull them that red ass back in. A lot of people don't want that. Like, you know, a lot of things are being silent. And then I'm in the churches because a lot of the churches don't really give a damn. They didn't really give a damn because you know why? They was getting their PPE money. Oh, not PPE. What the hell was that? PPP money. I'm thinking about goddamn at work. they was getting their money. Because the pastors been told, we on the payroll. We don't, hey, people paying, we getting more money now when the churches are closed than we were when it was open. That's what the pastor told us. Yeah, so they getting the money. They don't care about y'all. They don't care about no what the people that we sold. They want that money. So that's what happened a lot of things with the church. That's why you don't see the church doors open with all the crime happening. It used to be with the crime happening or something happening in the community, the church doors are open. When they said that the church doors, the doors of the church are open. Yeah, they was open for anything. It wasn't just to go in there and hear about Jesus and hit tap on the tambourine. It was about anything that happened in the community. That church was the, that was the heart of the community. This is where we go to deal with our issues in the church. Anything happened, let's talk about it in the church. That's where we go. Now, no, they know it. Because, you know, everything has been thumbing off. Like I said, that's why I said again, man. We've been bit by several venomous snakes. So we got to find the right anti-venom, you know, to take. And so, you know, but I just see, man, like I said, the lost generation, man, they are lost from a lot of reason because, like I said, not knowing. They don't have the right roadmap, for one. That's why I said laws. They don't have the right roadmap. So they going down a road, man. There's a road to destruction. And right now, it don't look like nobody going to meet them on the highway and tell them, hey, man, y'all know y'all going the wrong way, don't you? You supposed to go back that way. And they turn around. So I said this is a lost generation. Because, number one, they don't want to hear it. That's number one. They don't want to hear shit. And it's just not that you there's some old heads. But they don't want to hear it. Like I said, you try to tell them, you try to give them, they ask you a question about something, then next thing you know, they're going to tell you, well, I think I see it this way. Well, why the fuck you even ask me then? You want to say that. Excuse my French, y'all. You want to say that, but you don't get that cut. Well, why, if you had the answer, why did you ask me the goddamn question? Don't waste my goddamn time. That's what I had an elder tell me. Well, hey, look. He said, I ain't got but a short. I ain't got but a few breaths. Left, and I was locked up with a dude named Albert Hampton. He said, look, I ain't got but a few short breaths left. I don't need to waste my time talking on the frivolous bull crap. I need to save my little short breath. So if you wanted some real stuff, you can ask me. Now, I'm all, but I ain't got but a few little short breaths left. Don't talk to me about that.
I agree.
But yeah, from a young
and we can't.
Go ahead, bro.
We can't miss the biggest destroyer of our current young generation is this white and black dyke movement.
Uh oh.
Where being a man is toxic. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Like, even a young man that wants to, you know, look up to a man and pattern after that man and be like, you know what, he got his shit together. But then you got these creatures coming, well, you know, he this, he that. You know what I'm saying? We getting beat down 24/7. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, even if you find a role model, if you round a bunch of dykes and stupid ass just stupid ass women, they gonna make him seem like a bad thing, you know.
Yes,
so
sir.
So no matter how hard we try sometimes, if we can't separate them, if we can't show them the end as opposed to the beginning and the middle, I mean, we fighting a serious battle. And until us brothers are willing to stand toe-to-toe with these silly women, ain't nothing going to change. But if we do, it'll change overnight.
Yes, sir. And brother, man, you've written on some great points. And one of the role models, like you said, that they give you out here, bro, somebody like Charlemagne, old bisexual ass Charlemagne. And I ain't talking about buying sex. I mean, going both way sex ass Charlemagne. They got people like that out there for these kids, role models, and now today and shit. And I'm gonna tell you, but there's one thing about it, like what got me. I give out the big ups about Chief Rabbi David Israel, man. Even coming on and started talking about the Hebrew stuff. I mean, the Hebrew. And got me started listening to some of these cats. Now, I know some people y'all listen to, man, they be sound like they're wild as hell. But I'm going to tell you, it's some brothers. Now, GMS, now people like it, man. Some of this stuff they were talking about, about the young girls. Now, I don't fly with that. But one thing I do like about GMS, they deal with current events. And they deal with stuff that's happening. That's some more brothers that do. Now, I was listening. Even I listen to ISUBK sometimes. They be on some other thugged out gangster ass shit too. They sell sometimes. But I was listening to one of their show, I think yesterday, and they were saying they got this thing with Clubhouse. I ain't trying to get on that shit, Clubhouse. But they were saying brother was talking about how they got a group for everything on there. But they got a group for black women talking about how all black women need to leave black men. Just get away from dating black men and marrying black men. It's like, wow. It's like, ain't that a bitch?
I heard an African woman talking that crazy mess.
Damn, get away from black men.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. And notice I see a lot of commercials on television now with interracial couples on them.
I mean, what we call tragic relationships.
Yeah. So, man, they got us. And then we thinking, man, see that? You know, it's time, man. It's time, man. They finally waking up, man, realizing this racism shit ain't over with. No, it ain't the trick, Jack. I remember doctors saying it. I remember Elijah Muhammad saying it in theology's time. They train a white woman to make you think that, hey, now that we just not realizing that we are one people and that we love you. But she trained to use you, to trick you, because it's all about their survival right now. It ain't a goddamn thing about they love you. It's about that. They'll do anything to survive. I don't give a damn if you have your thick-ass babies. It's about survival. That's all the. Go ahead.
All right, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, just standing up saying no is a powerful thing. And I ain't gonna lie to you. I tell my wife all the time, I ain't Superman. I got to say no and roll, because you say no and you get to cackling and grinning and doing that little, you don't even know you're dancing. Oh, she got you there. She got your ass. Because now all you're trying to do is talk yourself into it.
Damn.
You know, so I tell a black man, just say no and roll. I mean, don't look for her, because you don't give a fuck what her response is. You know what her angle is. You know what her goal is. And you got the role. Don't hang around. You ain't Superman. Because I tell you what, they got some out here, boy. They'll get you.
Yes, sir.
I'm the strongest motherfucker I know, and I got to go.
Yes, sir. Hey, Justin?
Yes, sir.
I heard you finna say something.
No, I ain't gonna touch nothing.
I bet you heard nothing.
Not on that topic.
Oh, see that? You don't see that? Yeah, you got too many white women in that damn Democratic Party. Never mind.
Oh, damn.
Mayor, I forgot. I got to tell you something, man. Justice told me don't tell you, but, you know, what kind of friend would I be if I didn't tell you, man? I forgot.
Here you go.
Yeah.
I bumped it. You about to tell him when I saw it somewhere?
No, you told me
I
don't tell him.
I saw it somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, but you can tell him, but I did see him somewhere.
Yeah, I'm going to tell him other Tupac. It's Tupac.
Go ahead. You can tell him.
Now, he told me don't tell you because, you know, he said he getting ready to move to Delaware, and he's getting ready to run for mayor of Delaware, so as a Democrat. So, you might want to get everybody ready and get him prepared because just so you're going to run for mayor of Delaware.
Yeah, okay, somewhere. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I did. But, Mayor, he did mess with you. You had left, though. He said it. So, Justice, I ain't lying on you. You did say
because we was talking about a topic and you bounced out, Alpha Male. So I went on and called you out a little bit
about the skin bleaching. You said he what'd you say he get the skin bleaching?
He ain't like that topic, so he hung up. That's what you told me.
But now you say it's something that he had skin bleached.
Oh, when I bumped into Alpha Male out in the mall,
he bleached it. So
I turned around. I looked at Alpha Male. I said, "Oh, he's a yellow brother. He's real light skin."
See there? See how he do you? See how he do you?
Yeah.
He's real light skin, Alpha Male, with that curly hair.
And that's why black people can't come together now because he's trying to change your damn color.
Yeah, but you know what? If I committed a crime, that's the motherfucker you look for.
That light skin,
brother named Alpha Male. Real light skin.
Yeah.
That good hair.
You pick out the line.
Just you, bro.
Hi, yellow brother.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you'll never find me in the mall. It wasn't me.
Come on, Alpha Male. You said, "Hey, I'm Alpha Male." I said, "All right, Alpha Male. I didn't know you was that light skinned."
Did I call you by name?
I didn't tell you who I was. I just bumped into
you. So you just out there talking to faggots and just all willy nilly?
No, man. It was this tall, light skinned brother, and he had his bag. It's a pink bag. And I was wondering, I asked him, "Hey, why you got a pink bag, bro?" And he said, Alpha Male, you had a pink bag, man? Why would you have a pink bag? Alpha Male walking in the mall with a pink bag that he bought out this store. I was wondering.
Did I have my pants below my knees?
No, Alpha Male, you got dignity about yourself somewhat.
Not if I had a pink bag.
You indicted yourself. I ain't want to say it. You did it. You said, "Not if I had a pink bag." He said he had it, y'all. He admitted it. He just admitted it.
Yeah.
Any light skin, real light. Light skin, brother, with good hair.
Nah, if it was me, I would have smacked you for being a Democrat.
Yeah, I was like, you would have known if it was Justice, because he would have had the Joe Biden shirt on. walking with the white right,
on.
That was Dave told me to say, man. Dave paid me to say that. That was Hillary Clinton said. I got to use her thing.
Yeah, well.
Where is Dave? Is he
where's good? Chief at? Where's Chief Rabbi at?
I don't know, brother. I've been trying to reach out and get in touch with him. I can't reach him. Can't find him. I don't know.
He changed his numbers and all that, too? Well, he's just saying,
I lost the number, and I've been looking around everywhere, and I can't find it. I've been trying to email him. It always says email full. I hope, I've just been praying that the brother, is still in good health, because I know he was sick.
you know, he had been going through some health issues and stuff. So just, you know, pray he just said to hell with everybody and got off the internet or something. I don't know, but I've been looking around on some of the other places that he usually be in, you know.
He ain't been there either?
No, you know, he used to go at the tour nights and talk bad about them too, so I ain't been seeing him say nothing about him, so I don't know, bro.
Mm-hmm. He'll pop up eventually. He'll pop up. He probably listening to us right now.
Maybe. Then I can't find nothing, you know, like, you know, he's like, he just been erased somewhere. You know, like a CIA agent, they erase your shit out. It's like, if I can put justice, I put your name in a title on here in a tag, right? I or Alpha Male. I can go back and Google search Alpha Male, Brother Justin. My name will pop up through Google search. And it might pop up. Culture Freedom Radio, Lost Black Nation with y'all name in the thing. And I can't find David Israel nowhere. Now, I do find a white boy named Chief Rabbi David Israel. I can't find him. David Israel.
The black one. Can't find the real one.
Yeah, because he had a YouTube channel. It's just like, it's mysteriously, everything is gone. It's just, you know, I don't know.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, let's not dwell on it. Maybe he'll pop up. If not, you know, hopefully we just pray that his life is good and he'd be all right. And, you know, if he didn't go meet the ancestors or something, then he's still cool and we would love to hear from him.
Oh yeah,
but yeah.
If it ain't nothing but to tell us to go to hell, you know, at least we heard from him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to tell you on some alpha male, some strain that did happen to me once. That is only, I don't know. Somebody like had been tapping my phone. I had to tell you about it. It was real weird. I don't want to put it out. That's why I said, but it's strange how everything, his history, it has been erased off the internet. You put anybody's name on the internet and some hashtags, it's going to pop up, whether they did some.
But do that happen after you pass away, though, Sunray?
They don't matter. It's in the history. It's in the history. Look at, Frances Quest Wells. I made a piece of this be on this sister's soul. She passed away. Hell, you Google search her name. Hell, she's still going to be on there. It's somewhere. That's in there.
But if somebody only got their own personal stuff, then that might go ahead and be erased. But if somebody else put Frances Quest Wells out on their site, then Frances Quest Wells is going to pop up all the time. Now, if she had her own thing, it might have got closed out because she ain't going to pay the bill no more. So, therefore, that thing going to get erased.
Nah, but the internet, it ain't going nowhere, Jack. Like, even Facebook could tell you. They ask you when you try to delete your page, they ask you, do you want to delete it after you die and all that? Do you want somebody else to take over? Do you want to leave it? They'll leave you. If you don't consent to that, they'll leave your shit up there. You're dead no more. Your Facebook page still there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so now, what's in this internet is there. It's, like I said, I don't want to touch on it on here, but why I say some stuff, but it just, you know what it is. Like I said, culture freedom, hell, it's... Your name should have been popped up somewhere around the way, you know. But I ain't going to get into that, man.
Right.
It's kind of crazy. It's kind of weird.
Now, earlier we was talking about this lost black generation, and what I find is with the lost black generation is that they have so many things in common with each other. So I would start with where I'm at, is that it seems like the lost black generation tend to hang out together and tend to have the same kind of thoughts, tend to have gone through the same kind of experiences, a lot of them traumatizing. A lot of them cause mental agony and pain. And the music they share and
the type of language they use, they share. And the kind of clothes they wear. It's like the rappers, it's like there's only one standard of dressing, it seems, not unless you're the Migos. But you would have some tight-fitting clothes on, or jeans with your underwear showing. And that's every rapper besides, like, the Migos. And they probably do that sometimes, too, I'm not sure. So the dress code is kind of similar across the board, even if it's the girls who want to be boys. They tend to dress with more like a manly fashion. That's what I'm referring to. The women who want to dress like men and be like men, that they tend to dress more with a looser style and more like a masculine way. And even how they wear their hair, they might just wear some braids to the back or a different kind of braids or dreadlocks or twists, and to look to emulate like a male. If a male had hair like that, then that's how a male's hair would be, or some males that do rock their hair that way, they're trying to look like those males. And they have that in common with each other and their music. And their dress style tends to be more masculine than the men, who tend to wear tighter fitting clothes with colors, really feminine colors, and even with depiction of roses on the shirt or the jeans or somewhere, there's a rose or something, or roses on a man's clothes, and skulls and bones and these types of things as well. And the brothers are dressing more in a feminine way, with wearing tighter fitting clothes and revealing their backside, revealing their buttocks. That's more feminizing, or I'll use an alpha male word. This might not even be a real terminology here. Let me see. I'm going to try this word out. Somewhere you might like this one. Faggotry. Is that a word? Probably not.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
so.
It's the art of faggotism.
I'm glad I have a scholar on the phone about that.
That's what it is.
It absolutely is. Okay, so when you got the men who tend to be just not standing up to the standard of how a black man image is supposed to have or be. They have reduced the image of the black man of looking like a person who has strength and has masculinity and intelligence, that it seems like the black man of today has been reduced to femininity and being more feminine than our men of yesteryear. And it tends to be on the average of half of the young men today, from anywhere from 37 down to 10 years old, or even younger, but we'll start somewhere, that are wearing these tight-fitting clothes that are making them go towards not having a stronger masculine presentation of the black man, to where they do not look like someone who is strong enough to defend the nation of our people if we were under some kind of attack. That it don't look like that they would be ready to fight
because they seem to all have on flip-flops. And if you think that you're bad and you can fight, you're not going to have a chance against someone who doesn't have on flip-flops, because your feet are all vulnerable. And if someone knows how to fight and is looking at your weak points and weak spots, your feet are going to be much attacked. And today's young black men love to wear flip-flops all day and every day and everywhere.
Damn,
and that's another feminine. That's another feminine trait. Wearing your feet like that, exposed and not being able to be on point in any situation. No matter what it is, if something drops on your foot, you'd rather have on some kind of a shoe than have on a daggone flip-flop. Or if you're about to have a fight or you got to defend yourself against anything, or a dog or another person, and you only have on a flip-flop, then you're going to be struggling. So, you know, a real man wears shoes or at least some kind of sneaks. Not flip-flops.
Yes, sir. Hey, Jim, we got four minutes, too. Then we're going, then the show will be over. I ain't bagging up tonight, so we got like 4 minutes.
Okay.
Go ahead, Alvin.
Okay. Yeah, there's also a medical reason not to wear flip-flops, because it deforms your pelvis. So you got these little punks running around here in the flip-flops and the pants around their thighs. Well, their pelvis slides. They start really walking like a bitch.
Damn.
They do.
Wow.
So, yeah, they're mad. People, you know,
but that's not wives, Alpha Male. At that point, they are doing that activity that caused them to walk that way. But it's not because of the flip-flops at that point.
Damn, but I've been seeing that a lot, though, guys wearing flip-flop. It's just like if they got to run, it's just like a woman. They got to run. They can't run flip-flop. They got to take them off. Like a woman trying to run, she got to take her high heels off and run. So they got to take their flip-flops and run. God damn it.
And they're going to be like in woman, big trouble. And they just like women. These punk, I was about to cuss. These dudes out here just is a punks. Cuss them out for me real good, something right before we go off.
Oh, man. Oh, you know what? I got to say, man, big up to Kim Jong-un. Big up to Kim Jong-un. I know that sounds crazy, but I don't think I'm saying big up to Kim Jong-un is because he banned skinny jeans in North Korea. You better not go over there.
All right. Big up. Yeah, Kim Jong-un. Big up.
Yeah, right. He got that much sense to ban skinny jeans in goddamn, what was it, North Korea.
I love that. We need more leaders like that.
He need to come over here for a day or two.
we need to do that in this country.
Yes, sir. All right, brother, I think we got 1 minute and this thing over to cut off. I ain't want to cut off. All right.
Come back on
tonight.
Sunday night if you can, man, for about an hour or two, man.
Yeah, we can come on Sunday. We can come on Sunday because I ain't doing nothing. I'm like, it's the weekend. I ain't doing nothing, Craig.
All right, cool.
All right. Well, peace, brothers.
All right, peace to you, my brother.
Good speaking with everybody, LJ. Thanks for coming on. Brother Alpha Male, nice speaking with you tonight. Sunray 9. Thanks for coming on.
Peace.
Thanks for bringing the show. This great show tonight.
We'll be back on Open Topic for Sunday. We'll let everybody know the time. I don't know. We come on 6, 7. Oh, shit. Uh-oh. Thought it dropped off.
Come on early on Sunday, hour early.
But we can come on a regular. I don't have to work Monday. We off Monday, so.
All
we
right,
do
then.
Seven.
Regular time.
Yeah, we do 7. Okay. All right. Peace.
Good.
We out. All right, peace.
Peace, everybody. We got an outro song.
We ain't got enough time.
He shot again, and once my friend felt that shot, he turned around and he put his hands in the earth, and he started to get down, but the officer still approached with his weapon drawn, and he fired several more shots.
No justice, no peace.
Instantly, hundreds gathered, angered and saddened by what they call a complete overreaction by the officer. Now a family is demanding answers.
If there's no justice, there won't be peace. Let the struggle go on. Let the struggle go on. Watch us let the struggle go. If there's no justice, there won't be peace. We'll let the struggle go. Let the struggle go. Watch us make the struggle go.
Every day is a struggle, call it Jacob trouble. It's another real. Black man killed, there's no justice happening. Little homie, keep them laws, cause this world is tragic. I got the KKK in my neighborhood with that gun fashion. This ain't brand new, these cops, man, they been in action. Grab their gun, he resists, so they started clapping. Even though the young man never had a weapon. Now his mother and his father at their home stressing. Like, why the judge let him free, they barely ask him questions. Cause in the scripture, yo, it says we under oppression. For being wicked and breaking the laws and commandments. And we three-fifths of a human being, 13 commandments. Every day we all walk in the shoes of Trayvon. Every day we all walk in the shoes of Mike Brown. Cause when they see a black man, that's racial profile. But as soon as Judah rise, yo, it's going down.
There won't be peace. We'll let the struggle go on. Let the struggle go. Watch us let the struggle go. If there's no justice, there won't be peace. We'll let the struggle go on. Let the struggle go. Watch us make the struggle go.
How long are you gonna keep marching and holding signs looking for justice in this hell? That's fine. We living every day under a curse. So put the guns down and pick up the book and put the Most High first. Come back to them laws and commandments so we can go home. Away from here, away from this hell hole. Cause the chains loose off of me spiritually. Call it slavery, they killing all our babies. Then them judges are screaming, not guilty. Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 5. All praises to Yahuwah that I'm still alive. And these laws keep me humble, these making me wise. And destruction's on his way to bury the pride. Slave masters will rob you like the Christian pastors. The film's rolling, America's the main actor. Coming together as a nation, that's the main fact.
There won't be peace. We'll let the struggle go on. Let the struggle go. Watch us let the struggle go. If there's no justice, there won't be peace. We'll let the struggle go on. Let the struggle go. Watch us make the struggle go on.